Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more. We're table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. We'll be right back.
myself in time. Living in the limelight, the universal dream for those who wish to see. Those who wish to be must put aside the alienation. Get on with the fascination, illumination, the underlying. We'll be right back.
table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms. But wait, there's more. That sounds like one of them those shows where they sell you stuff, ain't it? Wait, there's more. Go underneath the chat room down there, scroll down there, and you can not only enjoy Shaziz Radio Super Chat, but you can go over to People for People Radio, where those wonderful souls will treat you like family. So, check that out as well. And it's all free for the low price, extremely low price of free. Yeah. Woohoo! I like free. I can afford free. Anyway, free and freedom, sometimes freedom's not exactly free, but there is good news as far as I'm concerned. I think we're winning the game. The beast is eating itself alive. Why would I even say that? Well, you know, if you actually look out there and see what's going on in society, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans been going on for quite some time. Everybody can agree on that. We can all agree without fighting over that, because, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans going on. Corrupt governments and individuals out there doing dirty deeds behind the scenes and all that kind of stuff. Well, you know, there were a few wise people who saw some red flags, and they didn't like the way that things were going. And so they took it upon themselves to not only put some information on the table, but while one of them was putting information on the table, the other one ran over there and grabbed a hold of that curtain and ran towards the other side of the stage. And now the man behind the curtain is looking out at everybody saying, "What? I didn't do it. Wasn't me." You know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The emperor has no clothes and such. Well, the people out there which... you know, there's this phrase that says that people are awake or they're asleep or something like that. I don't think that there's too many people left asleep anymore. I think there are some that's oblivious to concern of whether or not they care about what's going on, as long as it's not happening in their backyard and such. However, I think that the majority of the people's awake, and one of the things that... the reason why I say that, there's a video that I posted down in there in the chat room about Facebook and old Mark Zuckerberg. And if you actually listen to what's going on out there, he's bailing out of his own company and he's spending, you know, selling off shares and stuff like that. There's a interview, I think it was either 2009 or 2011, I can't remember exactly what, but he had told this one particular lady on the BBC, well, essentially told the world because the BBC, he told them that, "Oh no, these people, they own their information, and you know, it's their information, and we won't sell or give it to anybody who they don't want us to sell or give it to." So, you know, he said that that was their policy. They were going to, you know, be able to store their information on there and everything be all fine and everything. Well, you know, time went by and then we found out little bits and nuggets here and there that there was information being given to all kinds of people from all kinds of directions, and even connections in, you know, law enforcement and other dark agencies of the government were using it as a collection tool to know more about you. See, we already kind of knew that they were going to use it for advertisement purposes, because you say something on the internet, or shoot, nowadays you say it in front of your phone or your TV, and you'll get advertised. They'll sell you something, you know. "Hey, you want to buy this? I heard you like that," and so on down the line. Following you all over the internet everywhere you go. And then you'd have people out there trying to sell you programs so that they would be able to block them from following you on the internet everywhere you go. Me personally, I don't care. They can follow me all over the internet they want, you know, as long as they ain't peeking in my window or listening in on my conversations. Of course, even if I'm having a private conversation at home, I don't care if they hear it or not, because I wouldn't say anything in my house that I wouldn't say to their face. So all the alphabet soup agencies out there that want to know what old Shaziz is up to, all you got to do is ask, because I'll tell you how it is. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you've done. I don't like the direction that you're sending our world into. I don't like the wars. I don't like the plagues, the famine, the pestilence, and all the craziness that comes along with the government entities running amok. Now, if this definitely is a government by the people for the people, then you should not be abusing the people. So with that said, looking out there and seeing what's all going on in the world, there's something going on that right now where the beast pretty much is trying to cover its own tracks and in the process of, trying to retaliate against everybody else, it's quite literally eating itself alive. These companies like Facebook who manipulated people into believing that it's all right to put your information out here, we won't sell it. You know, it's basic same concept as putting red light cameras on every single street corner saying, oh, we're not going to write tickets with them, they're just for public safety. Well, then those cameras, they did like Easter bunnies. They made it, you know, cameras had cameras and then cameras had more cameras. And then the next thing you know, it's like a plague of roaches crawling all over the countryside. It's everywhere. It's every single corner, every single building. Cameras had reproduced and overtaken the world. It was crazy. There were cameras in every direction. And so, as the game proceeded on, things got a little bit more interesting, see? There were things that you were saying that they didn't like you to say. There were things going on during election cycles that they didn't want you to be able to. Now, on one hand, it was okay because whenever they first used this these tools against you, then it was cool then. You know, because, hey, we won. We used the social media against itself. We studied up everything everybody said, everything everybody did, and we were able to get elected because of it. So now we're winning. Ra-ha, woo-hoo. Well, then another election cycle came around, and some of the other people decided, well, wait a second. It's about time to fight fire with fire. We used the same exact tools to do the same exact thing, and now we got elected. So the balance of power shifted in the opposite direction. Well, this ain't cool now because we're losing the information war. All your famous name brand people had said this, that, oh yeah, we got to, it's an information war, we're losing the information war, we got to shut these people down, this is fake news or that's fake news. And so now you got this terminology that everybody's fully aware of, fake news. Alright, well, fake news pretty much got itself caught by faking news, quite literally. And so when people pointed it out, because now we have the tools and the technology to do so, we can real time be skeptical of information that is presented to us, and every time they try to deceive the public, somebody smart enough and fast enough to screenshot or catch some video have been able to turn it right back around on them, and they don't like it so much. So now we got to get this net neutrality thing in there. We want to make everything fair after all, right? We don't want this business to have more power than that business, so we got to make everything all right. So we're going to make this fair. We're going to start charging people for saying things, you know, we're going to call it hate crimes, and we're going to call it whatever we can to get people to want to allow us to throw people in jail for whatever it is they may or may not say or may not do and so on and so forth. Well, you know, that was okay, I guess. But then it backfired. Wow. Now the lights of justice were shining in every single corner. They were shining under the bed. They were shining behind the curtain. They were shining underneath the deal. Everywhere you looked, there was a light of justice shining. And so now all these individuals who were using these tools in order to try to manipulate and agendas, well, they started having problems because, hey, wait a second, this was supposed to catch them, but we're getting caught as well. Ooh, everybody's getting caught. The veil is being lifted. This isn't cool. So, you know, the game proceeded on, and then they decided, well, you know what? Here's what we'll do. We'll go out and we'll boycott all the advertisers on every single one of these conservatives or anybody that we disagree with or doesn't say what we need them to say to further our agenda. We'll just boycott the advertisers and then they won't be able to make no money and then eventually they'll go away. But wait a second, something happened there. That didn't work out the way we planned. Yeah, we got advertisers to pull, but then these other people who really kind of seriously believed in free speech started saying, wait a second, if you're going to boycott us for being speaking the way that we speak and taking away our free speech, we're not going to buy from you either. So now They're not getting bought from this side, and they're not getting bought from that side, and so now their money starts to sink down, and they're wait a second, I got to make a choice now. Which side of the fence I want to be on? Do I want to get some money, or do I want to get no money? Because if they're not going to buy from me if I have my ads on this video, and they're not going to buy at me because I pulled my ads from that video, then ain't nobody going to buy from me, and I'm going to go bankrupt. I'm going to have to start laying off employees because I can't afford this stuff. So it backfired once again. Every dirty deed that was done dirt cheap and underneath the fence and over the fence, around the corner, and every dark alley out there, here come the doggone lights of justice. Who are these lights of justice anyway? Let's think about this for a second. Where would these so-called lights of justice come from? Oh, I get it. It's we the people. It's you. It's me. It's sharing all the information that we've been sharing all this time. See, now the mainstream media actually talks about tinfoil hat wearing conspiracies, whereas one time on TV that would be taboo. We can't talk about whether we did or didn't go to the moon, whether the earth is or isn't flat or round or concave or convex or hollow. Maybe there's aliens. Maybe there's UFOs. Maybe there's not. See, things that they wouldn't talk about before, they realized that in the alternative media, that was getting most of the interest. They were getting thousands and thousands, if not millions of hits per video. And so they started placing their ads on that and started realizing, wait a second, our TV ratings are going down, but our other ratings are on the internet are going down as well. But these alternative media characters out there, the actual average Joe out there forming their own news outlets, and radio networks such as Shaziz Radio or People for People Radio or TCT Radio or Wake Radio or all the other networks you've ever heard about, all the way back to as far as you can think of internet radio and then some. All the networks that rebroadcast and podcast and share all these links and information with one another, it was the average Joe who set the beast against itself. And we're actually seeing the results. Now, are we out of the water yet? No, we're still down there in the water swimming around with that beast. And it is dangerous times right now. We are in peril because as this beast is eating itself alive, it's in panic mode. And that's the worst time right there. You know, you back a beast up into the corner, you might be all right until you rush in there. But it's like if you put a coward in the corner, you may think that coward is the weakest of all the weakest. He's the mutt of the bunch there, you know, and so you think I can whoop this guy. Well, you back a coward in the corner and I guarantee you ain't gonna come out unscathed. Well, I'm not saying the world's a coward, but what I am saying is if you back that beast, which is a coward because he does all the dirty deeds behind your back, stabs you in the back, shoots you in the back, does all kinds of things to manipulate and deceive as much as possible in order to further his agenda or her agenda, however it may play out. But the gang of thugs out there are finally realizing that, wait, we got a problem. We're losing the information war via the alternative media. And so that's why I always try to even hold the alternative media's feet to the fire and tell you things like, if you hear something on this radio show that you don't disagree, you disagree with or you're not sure about, you got to do your due diligence and go out and research even what I say, because I don't want you to trust me with knowledge that's going to make or break your future or your children's future. So if there's something out there that's wrong that we've said here on the radio show, I want you to hold our feet to the fire. I want you to do your research. Come here and respectfully present your research, and we will look at it, and we will actually make a conscious decision to, you know, even straighten the record up or apologize if necessary for, you know, making a mistake. But as long as we know the truth is being sought out, and that's what we're trying to do here, we're trying to seek the truth in every single direction. You know, whether it is or it ain't, we're going to find out. And I think the veil being lifted right now is not only an exciting time, it's also, like I said, caution. Don't throw caution to the wind, because when I say we're winning, doesn't mean we won. We still got to keep this ball rolling. We still got to share information. We still got to tell the truth to one another and try to set these solutions on the table so that everybody and his brother can benefit, and we can make this world a better place, one positive pebble at a time, one good piece of information at a time. Gathering all this knowledge and putting it here with links so that everybody can, you know, find it, like in the alternative energy. If you scroll up there in the chat room over there, ChazizRadio.com, you will find a button that says Steven's resource page. It's right above the radio player. And there's even a button above that so you can attend the University of Mad Science if you want to be a mad scientist. So there you go. But on Steven's resource links page, he spent a lot of time researching and putting links up there for alternative energy researchers and research. That's a tongue twister. I gotta watch my slow down, take a breath. Anyway, Steven did a wonderful job on there. He's one of the regulars down there in the chat room. So go over and say hi and thank him for all that that hard work that he put in. So with that said, the beast is eating itself alive. We're seeing all these elites out there turning on each other. They're stabbing each other in the back. They want to try to cover themselves. You know, I'm going to turn you in so I don't have to go to jail kind of thing, you know. So they're panic. They're in panic mode. And when they're in panic mode, that's dangerous mode, because that means that they're going to do some dirty deeds and might even, you know, what they call false flags or whatever, try to pull some shenanigans to try to, you know, put the ultimate distraction out there. See, they've been doing this to us for a long time, trying to play us like a banjo and, you know, try to pit us against each other, but they're finding out something here. Yeah, they got pockets of people fighting amongst each other and distracted and doing all kinds of stuff, but you got individuals out there who are bucking the system, and they're standing up. They're coming out in masses, whether it be a First Amendment audit or a Second Amendment audit or whatever. They're testing the waters, and they are holding the elected officials' feet to the fire. And the elected officials are actually coming around to understanding that this isn't going away. It's not going away. These people are basically wanting to preserve a piece of paper that a lot of people despise and say is outdated, the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because at this point in the game, they feel like that's really important. And maybe it is really important. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, Thomas Jefferson, which, you know, you could say what you want, but he even in the knucklehead section, he might have had words of wisdom, said, the price to freedom is eternal vigilance. Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And so with that said, that is a lot of knowledge in just a short bit, a couple phrases, but that doesn't even scratch the surface of the wisdom of the people out there who are finally coming around to realizing that the only way the people's going to get back the power is when they stand up and they take it back. By the people, for the people, is the way this government over here was set up. And all you got to do if you want to see what kind of world we could live in is look around at other nations who have fallen prey to things like social justice or even politically correct and stuff like that. You know, George Orwell's 1984, where you could be arrested for a crime that you hadn't even committed. Just thinking about it, you know, you're guilty, you know, whatever. Now, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. You'll even find over here in America that role has reversed. You're guilty until proven innocent. So I get pulled over for speeding, and I got to go to court and prove my innocence, which 9 times out of 10, since I don't have a dash cam or something on my person where I could show how fast I was going, then they're going to take the officer's word over mine, because my word is hearsay, his is evidence, and so on and so forth. So you got individuals out there who are actually putting cameras on their speedometers, putting cameras on their dashes, so that they can show that, hey, look, this ain't true, I wasn't speeding, and so on. You gotta be wiser than, the game that you're playing. You gotta know the rules, and you got to utilize that knowledge and information to protect yourself at every single turn. If it's alright for them to have a camera on you, then it's alright for you to have a camera on them. It's kind of funny because If you think about it, they set out to surveil the world, and now the world has turned around and surveilled them as well. So everybody's getting caught doing things they weren't supposed to be doing. Senators out doing things, congressmen out doing things. Who'd have thought that somebody with a camera could sit there and catch them in the act, or somebody with a cell phone would catch a police abuse right there live on scene, you know? And then you can't argue it anymore. Videos go viral and people start to notice that, hey, they're seeing what's going on. We better get out here and apologize and calm them down, you know? And even, I'll say this one last time here about the Second Amendment before I move on, and I'm sure Barbara's got a lot to say after all this craziness, but these people out there think that the government wants to take their guns. Well, I don't think so. I don't think the government even remotely concerned about taking their guns. I don't think that they could if they wanted to, and I think that they realize they couldn't if they wanted to without a, you know, bloody civil war. Quite literally, they're not going to be able to do it. That's not what it's all about. If you go out and watch Nicolas Cage in The Art of War, you will notice that in that movie, he's selling to both sides of the fence. He don't care who's over there fighting, because as long as they're fighting, he sells all kinds of guns and ammunition and everything. He's selling to both sides. He's making out like a bandit. So, you know, with that and the idea of how, you know, the money system works out there, why not? You tell everybody on one side, hey, we're going to try to gun confiscate, or we're going to try to use gun control, and we'll get these people over here so angry, they'll go out and buy more guns. So we'll make money. And then when it's all said and done, we'll just pit each other, these two parties against each other, and we will get them to fighting each other. They'll kill each other off. We don't even have to raise a hand. We'll just get them mad, you know, Jerry Springer. So somebody behind the scenes and all the people watching are like, Jerry, Jerry, you know. Your workers are watching the fight. It's like entertainment or something like that. So they don't want to take your guns. They know they can't take your guns. They want you to go out and buy more guns, and they want you to be angry because you think that the other side is trying to get your guns, and then they want you to raise those guns against your people that you could perceive to be enemies, and even at the police officers as well, because they put all the legislation, all the regulation in play that if everything gets out of hand, guess who runs in as the savior? Guess who comes in there to bring back order? Oh, we got to come in there and we got to put everything. This is getting out of hand. Well, it's been out of hand forever and a day, but now they want it to bust out into quite literally an actual civil war. They want you fighting against your brothers and sisters. Well, you know what? The people out there started realizing what's going on, and they are outsmarting these turkeys at every single turn. They're catching them doing the violence on video. They're catching them in the lies and in the deceit and all that. And they're sharing it with the world. That's what we, the people, do. Our true power, our true voice, lies within each and every one of you. Period. So, hey, Barbara, how's it going?
I shall say, wow, you're hot today.
Yeah, far.
Well, here you and I are on Turtle Island talking to the world. What an opportunity. You know, I agree with you that they, and you, I think maybe we all know who they are really running scared because things are shifting. And when people have had control for millennia and beyond, and things start to shine a light on all that, which is happening. First, there's a lot of confusion, you know, because I think the population, we've been so duped and brainwashed and believing in the authorities, and of course, mainstream media is the authorities, and politicians are the authorities, and bankers are the authorities, and doctors are the authorities, and everybody else in the school, the education. All these authorities, you know, have been setting us up because they've been trained and brainwashed themselves. And, yeah, it goes back and touches all parts of our society. And so, you know, when the light starts to shine, and this is a time of enlightenment, we are in that timeline called the Age of Aquarius. Yeah.
Cool.
The Age of Aquarius, you know, all that.
I remember that song. That was a good song.
It was a good song, you know. So even that was usurped, the image of the water bearer, water carrier. It's interesting to me, we are in this time of awakening about water. So Age of Aquarius, boom, suddenly there's all this, enlightenment upon the water. What's happening with the water? You have Standing Rock, where people from all over the world came to protect the water. Age of Aquarius, the water bearer. So, but that image in the skies, the Aquarius symbol of the stars, system up there, was usurped by the male dominators, and I'm not talking about your general guys out here on the streets, your brothers, your fathers, and uncles, and all that. I'm talking about the controller patriarchy. So don't get me wrong.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, I know you do. I'm talking to the public out here. Because as soon as I say patriarchy, dominator, rule, everybody, all these guys stand up and start, you know, complaining and screaming that I'm picking on the men. No, I'm picking on the controllers, the patriarchy, dominator, rulers who started this whole thing way back during the goddess culture, we could say, right?
Yep.
And the Sacred Mother, the Great Sacred Mother. And so there is a systematic takedown of all that is sacred, okay? It's anti-Christ. And I say, well, it's Christ consciousness that is the key piece here. And what does that mean, Christ consciousness, you know? But don't let me get sidetracked on that for a minute. Let me go back to the symbol in the sky, the star system of Aquarius, okay? Okay, Aquarius is a water bearer. So in this, what was usurped was this symbol, which is now a male carrying a vessel of water. And if you go back, way, way back, because I did some research on there that was even in the Bible about the water bearer is the female. And men never carried water. I'm sorry, they just didn't. Even today in other cultures, women go to the wells with their vessels and carry the water. That's the job of the women. Plus, women carry the water in their womb. The sacred gift of life is the womb. You know, we're all born in that sacred water. We all spend, 9 months in that vessel of water. So the symbol was usurped and put a male in position there, but no male ever carried the water. Okay. So, returning to the where we are today and the running scared piece. So, because, this is a timeline of enlightenment, this is where we've come to. But, we're at that point, I think we're still being gifted a crossroads. We're at the crossroads. Now, we've been at a crossroads for a long time. Crossroads, there's the dark and there's the light. On one side is this road to the light, next side we look in is the road to the dark.
Yep.
And you can choose either one. And this is the time of choosing, by the way.
That's why I played that Rush song. Said, okay, even if you choose not to make a choice, you still have made a choice.
That's true. You can't get away with it. You can't say, well, I don't have an opinion, because then you have an opinion anyway, to not have an opinion. But you are making an opinion. Anyway, this can drive you crazy, but there is a symbol. It's a universal symbol, and I don't know if you know about this symbol. It's called the Ouroboros. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard the name before, but I just don't ring a bell.
Okay, the Ouroboros is an ancient symbol depicting a serpent or dragon eating its own tail.
Oh, yeah, I saw that outside the doggone... it was actually outside the library. There was a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. Okay, so this symbol can be found all over the world, and it's very symbolic in where we are today when you say, the dragon or the serpent or the snake is eating its own tail. But this is a symbol about, it's a cycle, okay? It's a perpetual cyclical renewal of life and infinity. It's the concept of eternity and the eternal return. It represents the cycle of life, death, and rebirth, which leads us to immortality, as in what we call the phoenix, the rising of the phoenix.
Yeah.
Out of the fire, right? So I'm looking at this as, yeah, this is what's happening right now, because it's a natural cycle. When you start to awaken, okay, you know, there's that awakening, but something dies. It's a death and a rebirth, right? The cycle of life. So we are in that timeline now of the awakening. So when you awaken, when the light starts to shine, and when the light becomes so powerful, and such a beam of powerful light, awakening, yeah, something has to go.
I got to ask you a question real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when I was a kid, I don't know why it is, but I used to be fascinated with drawing that phoenix, that fiery bird.
Right.
I just wondered, it just dawned on me.
What's the question?
Well, you think that has any implications to what we're talking about right now?
Well, let's say, this is interesting, because when we know that when we focus on something, we are really giving it energy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if we all chose to focus on peace or healing or light coming through and moving through the darkness that has been, stable and imprinted or embedded for millennia, if we all sat here and focused on spreading this light from the divine source, okay, because we are all connected to that divine source, here we are on the crossroads, if you choose that. Or if you choose the dark, you'll spend time in the dark. You'll be lost there in the dark and be affected by what is also dark. You become, you know, sort of like an attraction to either light or dark. That's the universal system, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say when you shine your light, you attract things. You can attract more light, but you also attract the dark because the dark doesn't like the light. Right?
Yeah.
If you're out there shining your light, standing on this mountaintop, and you're out there beaming this light and beaming this love and beaming this harmony and peace and balance, well, there's a whole bunch of things that are going to go, wait a second, what is that over there? Ah, well, the beings of light or the aspect of light, which we all, you know, are pretty much, I think, tuned into what that may be, becomes alerted and starts to be drawn towards that. It's like a moth is drawn to light, right?
Yeah.
But also there's the dark aspect who says, wait a second, there's a light shining over there. I don't like that light. I like it dark. So let me go over there and see what's going on and affect that light because I need to stomp that light out. I like it dark. I've been in control. I like it that way. I like the confusion. You know, I like the eternal, you know, craziness, mix-up, chaos. That's what that creates. And wants to hold on to that. It's sort of like, you know, gripping. It's sort of like what I see is these aspects of darkness. And this involves persons that we talk about, like you've been, you know, talking about the controllers and so on. runs through our whole system. Now people are waking up and they're saying, hey, wait a second. I mean, just take Facebook. Just take Google. Just take, you know, Amazon. What's going on there? The light is shining into these places where these controllers have usurped all of our identities and sold it for tons of money.
Oh, yeah.
And lied about it. And now everybody's, hey, they're getting irate. And they have a right to get irate. But these people, now you have Zuckerberg saying, well, I didn't really know. I'm sorry,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, he didn't know it all the way to the bank.
Oh, and before this disclosure came out, you know, he sold millions of his stocks.
Yep.
So the snake, the whatever you want to call it, you know, and I like snakes, by the way. It's not that I'm blaming the snakes, but we call people snakes because it indicates certain, you know, low attitude or, you know, nasty kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when you start to awaken, things change in your household.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start saying, hey, wait a second, what has been going on? I've been duped. I've been lied to. And this feels really crap. I wondered why I've been feeling so crappy, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Yep.
So when a population starts to awaken, okay, guess what starts to happen to the other, to the controllers who have been at work for millennia? What do they start doing? They're not going to say, oh, well, sorry, yeah, it's going to be okay. We're changing. They don't want to let go of that control. So now they're all hanging on the cliff, the edge of the cliff, by their fingernails, right? But they're still at it, and you're right, they are going to be red flags. We've seen these red flags because they're ramping up. They still want to maintain their control. They do not want to lose their control. It's a lot about money, 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 money. greed, downright greed, and evil. So evil doesn't want to lose its position. Evil's having a lot of fun out there controlling people and getting, you know, everything that they need and want. And I guess you'd say, well, this is about eating of the souls, like Two Dog always says. This is the time of, well, I know Trudeau, he's quoting Trudeau, a very insightful, philosophical young man there from the Lakota Nation, I believe, said this is the time of soul eating. And he's right. This is, we call it soul eating, but it's really the spiritual battle of the dark and the light. And we have been in this, I think, from the beginning of time.
Yep.
And there's always been that, just like there's always been the Ouroboros. The Ouroboros is a symbol, a worldwide symbol that speaks to us about renewal of life, death. It's a perpetual cycle relating to infinity, eternity, the eternal return, and represents the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. So basically leading to immortality, which is the, I guess you'd say, the final goal if you're on the right track or following the path of the light. That's what that is supposed to represent, you know, because it's about your soul. And so, but there's manipulators been going on here, you know. There's misdirection, there's brainwashing, there's, you know, all this system that we've been under for millennia. There's not nice people in this system. There are some, but the majority, and we call it, well, the deep state or the hidden cabal or the elite or the Luciferians. You could go down the list, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, you know, it goes way back to the Blue Bloods or the Real Bloods or the True Bloods, which we... It's like a nightmare. It's the big mess, the tentacles leading into all of life and a state of affairs, which has been really out of balance. So energetically, the scales have been tipped into the darkness for a long time, and people have been wallowing around, and they're trying to get some light, trying to figure this out, but also complying, because how do you fight something that you really don't know is active and real and affecting your life? Because you've been told everything's good. Yeah, we're all in control. We've got it. You know, we've got everything handled here. You can trust us.
Yeah, you can always trust your government.
Joe, just like the mainstream media. Now, everybody, you know, there is this thing, and I have to say that when Mr. Trump started on his rhetoric, well, a couple things he said, I was saying, wow, this guy, he's saying it like it is. It was almost like the X-Files.
Yeah. Speaking of Mr. Trump, Stephen Gibbons posted a picture in there where you got Trump sitting here saying, we're going to win so much you'll be tired of winning. And at the same exact time, he's got a controversial hand signal going on. Some people call it the OK signal, but other people call it like the 666 symbol. Like if you see him on speeches, you'll see him, he'll like do this like three times in a row as he's talking to emphasize what he's talking, and it looks like he's throwing up the 666 sign.
Well, guess what? He's also, it also symbolizes the Ouroboros. Guess what? Because it's the Q symbol, the symbol of Q.
See?
And the Ouroboros, and the so who are you going to believe, right?
I don't
who are you
going
to call? Ghostbusters.
I don't know, but I'm excited for the people. Speaking of that, I forgot. I wanted to say to those people out there who celebrate Easter, Happy Easter. Easter to Christians, in the New Testament states that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Easter, we celebrate Easter. You know, there's other controversy about, you know, where that actually came from, or the Easter Bunny, pagan religions, or whatever, but... You know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what the Christians, as basically their foundation of the Christian faith. So I just wanted to say to those out there who celebrate Easter, Happy Easter, and to those who don't, you know, whatever politically correct terminology makes you more comfortable, Happy Holidays, or, you know, just Happy Days, period. All right?
Guess what?
Yeah.
I've got something to say about that.
Yeah, okay.
Talk about fake news. So, according to Beatty in his De Temporum Ratione, The Reckoning of Time, the Christian holiday was called after a goddess of their names, Eostre, in whose honor feasts were celebrated in that month. The Astrea is variously depicted by scholars as a fertility goddess and a goddess of the dawn of light. Okay, the pagan goddess behind the holiday of Easter. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening.
It's got nothing to do with the, you know, what the Bible says as far as the resurrection, I think. That's what the thing is, right? The goddess behind the holiday of Easter. So everything pretty much in our systems have been taken from ancient, yes, pagan. You can call it pagan. Pagan goddess she was, and many of the goddesses, of course, because the pagans were people who were earth people. Paganism has gotten a bad rap, in my estimation, because I would say maybe all of the humanity in the early times were pagans.
Well,
you know?
I think maybe I'm probably pretty close to being an earth people, if I'm a people at all, but, you know, I just, because I still call myself a Christian, and I explained many, many times about why I call myself a Christian, but I don't want to go into all that, but nonetheless, I like what the man said, I resonated with what the man said, whether he's a messenger or the son of God. To me, you know, that's what I think about whenever Easter shows up. I don't think about the Easter bunny or, you know, the Christmas tree or anything like that. I think about the message, all right? And so,
well, I'm not saying that there isn't a, that Yeshua didn't arrive. I'm not saying that there isn't a God. I'm just saying that there's a certain group of people that usurped a lot of the ways of the ancient people.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and that's what I'm talking about.
A lot of different, what probably could have been good messages from messengers or however you want to look at it, whether it be, you know, from a lot of spiritual differences in beliefs, a lot of those got hijacked. A lot of them got misconstrued and distorted. You know, it talks about there's actual, you know, beginning of 12 separate tribes of Israel got scattered out all over the planet, and of course other people say there were other tribes that got scattered out all over the planet, and all the tongues got scattered and stuff like that, so all the different languages. But we had mentioned this prior, that in every single one of these deals, there are, like, things that kind of parallel each other, such as, you know, you know, like the Ten Commandments and the you know, don't hurt nobody kind of thing. Everybody talking about peace and love and all that kind of stuff. And where all the other, you know, go around and chop off your, you know, people that don't believe your version's head or that kind of stuff. I don't think that was part of the original message. You see what I mean? So I think it got hijacked. So we're all still learning here. I'm still trying to figure out the question
is, how is it that one of the two major Christian holidays was named by Anglo-Saxons after a pagan deity?
I don't know.
Here's a response.
But every day's Christmas to me, okay? So I don't care about all these holidays. If I'm going to walk the path of what I say that, you know, I believe what Jesus talked about, then I have to walk that path true and honestly. And so I try to be as best as I can and as close as I can to what he said, you know, to treat my mom right and to treat each other right and to love my enemy and to, you know, love one another and do all these things. Like, that's what I resonate with.
I agree, and I just, isn't this funny? I'm looking up this, I'm looking this up, and guess what? I just got knocked off. I'm looking up this, I just want to go a little bit here with more of this, because this question that I just posted, you know, why is it? So you have the Hebrew religion and the Christian religion. The question was, you know, why are these two major religions, you know, using this ancient symbol of this goddess or pagan symbol? You know, so here's the response, and I have looked at this in other writings, because if you have a whole culture of people for millennia honoring this, let's just use this goddess, this pagan goddess, and now you have this infiltrating Christian religion and also Hebrew religion trying to get the population to follow their way. Come into my fold, come to my church, come to my way, right?
Yeah.
And you have, how do you do this? Well, we know that we've all been brainwashed, you know, so I don't think they had that technology in those days, or maybe they did, but what they did was they said, if you can't beat them, join them and usurp an existing holiday for Christian purposes.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. That's how a lot of the different, like the secret societies, they get themselves elected as judges and officers and such like that, and then from the inside out do their damage, you know.
Well, that's what's happened to the populations from millennia is what I'm saying, that somebody had the bright idea to change the, you know, to introduce something that they believed in, okay?
Yeah.
And they needed a population in order to make a go of it, you know. They needed people. So here the people are all focused on a different direction for millennia, from generation to generation, and now these other people come in and say, wait a second, we had this idea, or I had this epiphany, or I had this vision, or whatever. Now, I need a population to fulfill these goals, okay? Whoever gave that vision, or whoever gave this information, you know, that's another conversation, because that also infiltrated into our system, you know, the dark and the light,
yep,
we could say. So then you have the systematic takedown of what I call the ways of the universal law, or creator's law of one. We no longer follow the rule of one, creator's law of one, okay, which means we are all one. One people, one, you know, on this Mother Earth, many colors. So the universal law of one, let's look at it way back, before technology, before the introductions of various things that are now ruling our lives. So you have populations on the earth then that were following what we call the earth ways, or creator's law of one. They all had the original instructions that said, we are all one, metakwiye oyasin, we are all related, everything, all people, all trees and water people and all things, we are all connected with energetically, right? We're all on the same page, we're all on the same frequency.
Yep.
This was the gift of Creator. Now you have, let's say, an interruption in that system, literally an interruption, and a design, okay, from another source to usurp the way of the original people, okay, that were, I call them Earth people, or the ones who followed Creator's law with the original instructions of how to live on the Earth in peace and harmony and be respectful and caring. And, you know, and understand that there are coming generations, and everything we do is going to affect the coming generations. The decisions and determinations that we make are going to affect the coming generations. So we better watch out. We better be careful.
I believe
that. We better
that.
Remember.
It comes what? With a lot. I said I believe that. It comes with a lot of responsibility, you know. Once you wake up to the realization that your words, you know, they actually have consequences, That's a power that should be used wisely, because, you know, we can quite literally affect each other's lives in ways that we can't understand right at this point in the game. We talk about something as simple as a positive pebble in the pond. If you think something even more simpler as a smile on your face, and how powerful that smile can actually be, you know, walking into a crowded room and just smiling. And, you know, for some reason, they can't control themselves. They're smiling, too. What's so funny? What you all happy about? You know, they want to know what you got, or what you're on, or you know what I mean?
Well, let's say, yeah, but let's say everyone in the beginning had the original instructions. Okay, what are the original instructions? I've already identified them, okay? How to live on the earth.
Yep.
How to be aware, how to be conscientious, how to be connected, how to be walking in a sacred manner, we call it, okay? And so let's say that then something else came in that had a different idea, that didn't like all that harmony, it didn't like all that awareness and that respect and compassion and so on and so forth. It didn't like all that togetherness, it had, yep, a different idea. It's like, so then you have an energy and frequency of harmony and balance, which in the teachings or the information that came through to me many years ago is about holding the sacred hoop in harmony and balance. And the tree of life is in relation to this, the sacred tree of life. There's another tree of life that is a different story altogether. But the sacred tree of life, okay, is about that harmony and balance, okay? So you have this imprinted here in creation, where all things are in relationship, and the original instructions given to all people Okay, that's according to what they lived by. So that was harmony and balance. So you could say, okay, well, who was it or what was it that didn't like the harmony and balance, that wanted to control the people, that wanted to usurp their way, their lifestyle, their minds, and infiltrate other information into them that would cause disruption of this sacred way? So you have this beginning over in certain cultures before it came here to Turtle Island, you know, the disruptors, the controllers, the conquerors, which is manifest destiny, which, you know, just to make a flat-out statement, is the genocide of a people who were the last ones here on Turtle Island upholding the sacred hoop of life through the original instructions.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They didn't make it easy to find the truth either. They did distorted everything under the sun in every single direction in order to keep you constantly unaware. I mean, think about this. If you're born and you are, you know, innocent when you're born, you don't know hate, you don't know violence and all that kind of stuff until you're actually taught to it. So that means wherever you came from pure.
Well, there were no prejudices. There were no, like, oh, you're a different color than me, so you're not good as good as me. You know, in the beginning, there were no separate religions. It was the earth, or you could say pagan, but it was the earth ways. You know, just like Wiccan. Wiccan is a religion or a system that is connected to the earth ways, but it's got a bad rap. Why? The pagans, the same thing. So you have populations originally on the earth that were all one people, even though different colors, but they didn't say, oh, you're dark or you're light or you're... you know, pointing fingers. This is something that grows, because a seed of that nature has to be planted.
Yeah.
And who planted that seed? You know, I mean, we can go down that rabbit hole.
Well,
but
I like the usurpers. Whoever the usurpers are, the
well,
notorious
they. Well, let's say, you know what? Something else. There was a time, and I can't quite pinpoint that time right in this moment, but there was a time when things started to shift, when somebody wanted to have control, when somebody decided, you know, I don't want to wash my clothes anymore. I want a slave, you know. I want somebody to do this, but nobody, you know, like volunteered, because they had their own clothes to wash, or their own gardens to till, or their own water to haul, or their own, you know, animals to take care of. But so, you know, somebody got the bright idea to introduce something that is dark, which is, you know, basically that slavery or taking people for your own needs and saying, well, these are only animals. These people don't have a soul. Where did that come from? I mean, because that's been stated.
Wow.
You know, I mean, black people, Indian people, people of color originally were thought of by others who wanted to enslave them as soulless. And that was because, I have to say it, that they weren't Christians. But that came later, okay? I'm talking about the real beginning, where all people were in balance and following the universal law of one. So, but somewhere along there, something interfered and interrupted that whole system and started to take down this amazing, extraordinary harmony and balance within the nature of people. It is our fundamental nature. Okay, we were born with it, like you say.
Yeah.
We're not born with hate. We're not born with prejudices. We're not born with these dark things. But we all have been challenged by that, and we all can choose. At the crossroads here we are, all right, I'm going to choose this path of light. Oh, no, I'm going to choose the path of dark. We all have that place where we have two choices. You can either go that direction or that direction, and you will be challenged. You know.
Yeah, there was two stories that come to mind. One would be the actual story in the Garden of Eden with the snake that, you know, said that if you eat this fruit, you'll become like gods. And then the other story was later on in the book that said that there was Cain and Abel, and one of them was jealous of the other and killed them with a rock. And so basically first murder or whatever. But... if we're looking for an origin, some point in time, way back according to the book, the first people were basically tempted to go against the system that you're talking about, whether it be, you know, go against God, or whether it be go against the sacred hoop, or however it came to be. But from that point on, that put that free will into, I don't know, maybe two separate sections, the dark side, the light side. From that point on, you got a choice, you know, where you want to go with life. If that makes any sense to you, I'm just trying to
put it in perspective. Well, there's another, here's the thing. Doing, you know, researching, we do research. You know, Patty and I, we do research. You do, you know, so and so. We do research, you know. I came across this interesting thing about the Garden of Eden and that snake, you know, got a bad rap. Now, Mother Nature was in the form of the serpent goddess. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Yeah. And this was original. This is pagan. Okay, this is beginnings of time. All right, the serpent goddess ruling supreme over the earth and its inhabitants has been taught for thousands of years. You know, it is the idea of nature as a female and mother superior to all other divinities came to us from the ancient holy island of Crete. Okay, so why is the 33rd degree Masonic philosopher, okay, written in the secret teachings of all ages, says the serpent is the symbol and prototype of the universal savior who redeems the worlds by giving creation the knowledge of itself and the realization of good and evil. And wasn't that eating of the tree, the apple of the tree of life?
Well, I don't know, because here I am, I'm 52 years old, and I have no answers to so many different questions. However, I'm sitting here now looking and I'm watching as, you know, all this stuff, you know, when we talk about the veil being lifted and all truths being known, I'm saying, it seems to me anyway, maybe it's just me, but it seems like everything is escalating at such a rapid rate as opposed to, you know, all what's been going on prior to this day, that more of the darkness is being, you know, basically lit up by what I was calling earlier the lights of justice. We the people, you know, out there shining lights back on the corruption and up underneath the dark parts or whatever.
Well, that's true, and this is just another piece of it, because basically in ancient times and throughout certain ancient cultures, there are numerous statues, ancient cultures, especially in Mesopotamia, which was the beginning of civilization, supposedly, was the goddess, the serpent goddess, the great sacred mother. And the Kogi people, who I told you that I'm connected with and involved with, are the people who were hid into in the mountains over 500 years ago. When the Spanish came, they fled into the mountains and have existed there with their original origin instructions for over 500 years. Until, because of the abilities that they have, which is their connectedness and relationship to Source and to able to see beyond the realities, that we could call it divining. They have divining tools and abilities to reach into the unknown and to connect, and to connect with the Source, which they have been doing for over 500 years, say that the in the beginning that the Earth or the Creator was Mother, and that this great Mother Creator appears in the manner in which she chooses. And one of those is a black snake. And one of those is a goddess or figurine of a woman who sits on the bottom of the great seas on a great black rock. Okay, so I'm just saying that there are things here that we don't really understand or understand. So, and like you say, now more and more things are being found out. People are awakening, and I want to get back to what Trump said, because I was saying, okay, this guy does know some things, because we've known that mainstream media is fake, right? And we know that alternative media, like ourselves, has been touted as crazy people, as conspiracy nutcases. That's all a setup. So people get confused. We're going to listen to mainstream media because we've been told that that's real news. And we've been told that the other stuff, these people are wackos.
Yeah, well, but these now, wackos just rock their boat. Nail rabbit.
And talk about chaos, okay? But so when Trump said that, plus he said, you know, the government is, there's a deep state and there's corruptness, and he was going to clean the swamp, you know, I'm saying, well, this guy is really on it. But I didn't particularly like other things about him. But I'm not saying I'm a Trump person. I'm just saying he did disclose certain things, and these are in the works now. And that's what we're talking about, the disclosure, and the light is shining into the deep state and into the corrupt CIA, parts of CIA and FBI and some part of our political people. You know, just check out the FISA documents if you're interested. And the point is, okay, so when the common people, okay, really see the real truth, they are going to be completely stunned. Okay? It's going to create chaos, more so for people who have lived their whole lives believing in something, alright, swearing up and down that this is real and true,
yeah.
Swearing up and down that our government, you know, is the good, we're the good people, and all the other countries are the bad people, and but yet our government is clean and pure, and our politicians are for the people, you know, really. When all these things come to light, like, you know, like Zuckerberg, like Facebook, people are spinning.
They're panicking.
Oh, they've been lied to.
Yeah.
Wow. Guess what?
It wasn't like we didn't say it, you know, with our tinfoil hats on. Y'all better be careful. They're spying on you. It wasn't like we
didn't
say it.
That's exactly right. Oh, and the same thing with cell phones and various other things that we've been talking about. Even microwave ovens.
Yep.
When I used to talk about microwave ovens when they first came out, just fluoridated toothpaste, yep. I would get attacked. I mean, I'm serious.
I know
when the whole thing, the war about Iraq, was weapons of mass destruction. I said there are no weapons of mass destruction. I got attacked.
And I was saying it was about oil. I said that's the only reason they want to go over there.
Exactly.
Control.
So, but here we are. People can't handle the truth, I guess is what I'm saying. It really spins them, and this is the sad thing. So there's going to be a lot of spinning.
I can handle the truth myself. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when all truths are revealed. Of course, you know, I'm also going to be a little concerned that, you know, I was taught a whole bunch of lies throughout my entire life, and now it's presented the irrefutable proof of, you know, life wasn't what I thought it was, and I was deceived. You know, it makes me mad because it was my life, and it should not have been manipulated by somebody else. You see
what
I'm saying?
That's right. And that's a big piece right there, Shaziz, is think about it. I think about my parents, right, and my grandparents and all those that came before them and how they all believed in certain things and passed that on to me, but my own instincts was like, this can't be right.
Yeah.
But yet, here you are. You're one person who's looking at the dialogue, listening to the dialogue and all that other stuff from all sources.
Well,
and something, when I was in school in history class, right, they talk about America, the founding of America, the founding fathers, and how all the Indian people were bad people. They scalped people. They did this, they did that. They were savages. And I would sit there and I'd say, something doesn't feel right here.
Yeah.
Just my instinct, you know.
Well, speaking of that, one time I had heard a pastor tell me that, well, he didn't tell me like directly. He told the congregation, said that my words were like filthy rags to God. And I'm like, hold on a second. No, first, you know, I was told that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so if he loved me that much to give his only son, why would my words be filthy rags to him? You know, that's not, that just did, filthy rags, that sounds like really bad, degrading
that's
against
bad.
Somebody, you know?
Bad.
And if he
so
loves me.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Here's my question. So if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I guess I have two questions. Some people believe that Yeshua was God who came in the form of a human. And my other question is, if God so loved the world and gave his only, gave Okay, meaning gave up his only begotten son's life, right? Because we know he was crucified for our sins. So if he was crucified for our sins already, so that means, okay, what to you? The sin, okay, Yeshua was crucified. God allowed that. That was a plan for our sins, all of humanity's sins. So why are we confessing sins and being absolved of sins and having to go all through that?
Well, from my understanding of it, basically because of God's purity, we actually had to have a bridge back, and that was what the whole, whether it's a story or whatever, or something, a moral to learn from, that, you know, everything that we were ever going to do, God already knew we were going to do it.
That's right.
And so once Jesus...
I shouldn't say that's right. I believe that.
Yeah, well, once Jesus paid the ultimate price, that gave us an opportunity from that point on to actually have a path back to be forgiven. And it's up to us from that point on, once we have that knowledge, to choose on which path that we're going to walk on. And so...
That's correct.
That's the way I look at it. And, you know...
But our freedoms, our freedom, our free will to do that was usurped by the organized religions, is what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm indicating
I don't disagree with that either. I tell everybody, even though I say I'm a Christian, I have nothing to do with religion. It's not the religion to me. Because, see, Jesus Christ didn't come down here to start a religion. He came down here, he was the Christ, according to what I believe. But the message that he brought down here... was the message that resonated with me, that I want to try to live my life as close to what he said as possible, even though I'm just human. I'm going to make mistakes, and I do things I ain't supposed to be doing according to my own beliefs, but I don't want to be a hypocrite and go out and try to tell somebody else that they're going to go to hell if I don't say, if they don't listen to what I have to say and follow this, because... I'm not supposed to be judging people. I'm not supposed to be mistreating people. And anytime you tell somebody, you're pretty much said, you're going to go to hell, you're basically judging that person. You're just telling them, well, you ain't doing right, so you're going to, it's not my choice. If that's the case, that there is a hell. But back to the whole premises of my words being filthy rags to my God, it didn't resonate with me. It didn't feel right when he said that. I felt like, you know, I got to get up. I got to walk out of here because this man isn't telling the truth.
And that's
so,
right.
The organized religion of the world, I have a discrepancy with the church that goes back since I was a child, because there's a thing that where Jesus was in the temple, and the temple to me, like the church or whatever, is supposed to be, you know, like a house of God. You're supposed to not do certain things there. Well, the money takers were in there doing taxes and finances in the house of God, and Jesus come over there and he shoved over the table of the money takers. And to make my point, I got to premise this. Liberals out there right now, they talk about separation of church and state. They don't want the government's hand in the church, and they don't want the church in the hand of the government, which is understandable, because that's what Jesus pretty much said back then, too. But nonetheless, somebody from the crowd said, Jesus, should I pay my taxes? And Jesus replied, he said, whose face is on that coin? And he said, why Caesar's? He said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. And so your modern-day churches are under what's known as a 501(c) tax-exempt status, which
right.
means that when you go to church, if you put a donation in the basket for your church, which to me, that money's supposed to go to helping all God's people. Well, nonetheless, the church is supposed to offer you, under this tax-exempt status, a piece of paper that says that you made this donation so that you can then, in turn, go back to Caesar and ask for your money back. So, what happens here? I give money to the church, which is basically given to God's people, and then I go ask Caesar for my money back. Have I given anything? You see what I mean? I haven't given nothing. There's no sacrifice. If I give you my shirt and then I turn around and go say, hey, brother, I gave her my shirt. I need a new one. You know, I gave nothing. No sacrifice.
So let's talk about these words. Past or present proves past, okay?
Yeah.
How does that fit into this Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple?
Well, right now the churches should be throwing the government out of the churches. They shouldn't be trying to get a tax-exempt status because essentially it's keeping the government's hand in the church. Contrary to what Jesus talked about back then, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto the Lord what is the Lord. If you're standing in what you believe to be the house of the Lord, then Caesar has no place there. Vice versa.
Well, so let's look at the house of the Lord. To me, the whole earth is the house of the Lord.
Well, I agree that too, because Jesus said that anytime two people come together in my name, there shall I be also. There you are, standing in church right underneath the apple tree or the peach
exactly.
tree or whatever.
So let's look at past, present proves past and what's happening now with the money changers. Who are the money changers?
There's a lot of them. The bankers, the corrupt politicians, the corporations.
That's correct. So yeah. What's happening now?
Even churches have become businesses.
That's exactly right. So what's happening now? What do we see happening?
Well, you see a lot of people leaving the church because they don't believe that the church has their best interest, that they're not following the word like
well, there's a light. I think that what we're talking about here is the light.
Yeah.
The light is shining into the darkness that has been ruling us for millennia. The darkness of all the money changers, you know, the government, the bankers, the politicians, the churches. So, you know, I'm just saying, present proves past.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus gave us a big sign when he went into that temple and threw out the money changers in anger. Okay, so what's happening now? Do you think that Yeshua or God or Creator is getting really angry?
Well, I think that basically we're spending more time over at Caesar's palace than we are in the house of the Lord.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so
and I think that this is the time that the same thing, you know, that the messages given way back then means present, you know, present proves past.
Yeah.
We are in this present circumstance where we see what happened in the past. The messages were very clear.
Well, it said that as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, if you look back in the book, what was going on during the days of Noah, you'll see a lot of things that basically mirror today.
Well, you have the... Yeah, it was a lot of weird, dark stuff going on then,
yeah,
wasn't
people
it?
People were doing terrible things to each other. There were things going on out here, and they even said there were giants in the land at the time. Wouldn't surprise me in the least if a giant don't
well, in factual, there are facts uncovered that there were giants all over the earth. They've been finding skeletal remains of giants throughout the whole world, and the ancient people... Our people talk about the giants that were here. Other cultures, ancient cultures, talk about the giants. So there is this whole thing in the Bible about the giants came to earth and mated with the women, the daughters
yep.
of the earth, and so on. And this split the DNA line or the bloodline, okay? The true bloodline, we could say, of Noah and his the chosen... You know, Noah's people were put on given the message to build the ark, and everybody laughed their heads off and pointing fingers like, there's a nutcase right there.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to point out here is that history repeats itself, folks.
Yeah.
And it's not just a 100-year history. It's not just 200-year history. It's going way back. It's going way back to that time when, you know, like you said, you know, the big thing happened because there was such corruption on the earth. There was sacrifices. There were the fornications. There were all this stuff, children being used and blah, blah, blah. What do we find now? We're in this same thing here.
Well, yeah. Even if you only use this as a moral from the story that was told, whether, let's just say hypothetically, you know, all of this was a fable from way back when, but there was, in all these fables, there's always a moral to the story, you know, and like the boy that cried wolf, you know, you can only cry wolf so many times when people get the point and they stop coming because they think it's a joke, that you're going to just go laugh at them when you get there again. Well,
yeah.
If you take this as a moral, and you think about how the cycle of life actually works, and if you think about mm-hmm. the direction that you see society going in right now, if we continue to go the direction that we're going, if everything back then was symbolic, And you look at things that's going on right now, how would you explain several thousand years ago the stealth bomber or the Black Hawk helicopter or nuclear bombs? You know, how would you explain that? You'd explain it like you've seen in Revelation. You're going to see the same thing unfold where mankind quite literally destroyed one another.
That's right.
In the process.
Well, it seems like we're in that. History is repeating itself.
Yeah.
And we're on a very shaky, very shaky ground here, as we see. So
did they get the moral? Should they now try to realize that, we're heading down a bad path and everybody start working together? You see what I mean? I think that, there's a lot of people who are finally waking up and actually getting it.
But there's also, see, when you have the awakening, when you have the light start to shine brighter, you have the darkness pummeling everybody to try to get the dark down again.
Yeah, it's in panic mode. The beast is cornered and it's
ready to
fight.
Exactly right. And this is a monumental, extraordinary time we are living. That's why I keep looking at this. This is like, wow, look at this timeline we are living in. We are coming to a point in time where, this is the time of choosing. And I always say, you better get right with your creator, get your spiritual garden planted strong, get your foundation strong, because we're going to need that.
Yeah,
we are going to need that.
It's exciting and scary at the same exact time, but, I want to finally get off this crazy roller coaster, all right? I want this all to be resolved and to see, where we can go to from here, So to me, I don't fear all the things that are coming with the extent is that I don't want to see people suffer, I don't know what it is about my heart or those scales of justice that seem to follow me around, but I got to have that balance. I got to have fairness across the board. It just drives me insane.
I feel the same way as you do. I don't want to, it breaks my heart, especially to see the children suffering, And of course, nature, things in nature, the destruction of the rainforest, the animals dying off, and people just going about their business, spending money and getting in debt and watching, all the crazy stuff on whatever they're watching it on and just, I guess sitting in the dark,
Yep.
I do pray for people, and I pray for those who are caught in the dark, and I pray for those who are doing evil. It's not my judgment. It's not my place to say, we're all doomed, because I don't believe that. I believe that we are still in a grace period on some level. We are still at the crossroads where we can choose. It's up to each one of us, right?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's why I keep trying to say, there's this probably not politically correct thing, but it's not over till the fat lady sings, and so far I'm not hearing the fat lady sing.
Well, I'll keep believing that until my time is done here on the earth, because I'm not God, I'm not creator, and I would never take that stance, and I'm not Yeshua. I don't know what Yeshua's thinking, and I don't know what God is thinking. I just know the little pieces that I know and feel right to me, but I would never make a statement to tell everybody, you might as well give up now because we're all doomed,
Well, even Jesus said that no man knows his day or night, that he come like a thief in the night, so that means you don't know, and you'll never know. He said, only God in heaven, not even the angels would know, that only God in heaven would know that when this was going to happen. And that's like life itself. So if you're out there...
But there are signs, that we were told that there would be many signs, and we are seeing those signs rising. And
that's it.
So this is why we're talking... talking about this, right?
Yeah, even the average Joe, you never know when your last day on earth is going to be. And so if you want to live your life the best you can and not have to, go on into the next world with regrets on your soul or yourself or whatever, then you should be wanting to treat people the best you possibly can, like every day was your last.
If you want to be treated, that way, then you have to treat others that way.
Yeah. And that was
come if you're a nasty person, you're just going to draw more nastiness to yourself.
Yep. Negativity breeds negativity and so on,
And talking about that, it's sort of like, guess what? I have come to believe that we are co-creators on some level. And we've talked about this, that what we believe, we manifest. What we focus on, we create. That's a power given to us So well, I feel Creator gave us an extraordinary power.
Even in my spiritual book there, it did say that we were created in the image of our Creator. And so that says that that might very well mean, you know, we create too. We create our own pain, our own suffering, our own destiny. And with that magical word called free will, we can choose whether to be a jerk or whether to not be a jerk. Am I
wrong? Well, when you're a jerk, okay, people will treat you like a jerk.
Yeah, that's it.
And you'll hang around with jerks because you'll feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So then your life becomes filled with jerks, and your behavior just goes right along with them, and that's what you've created for your life. If you are a hurtful person, a hateful person, a prejudiced person, you know, if you spewed off all this hatred and stuff and prejudices against others, guess who you hang around with? People who follow that same rule. So you feel comfortable there, and that's your life.
That's right. And if you actually humor the darkness by listening in and falling in for all the gloom and doom and hysteria, then you're going to be making yourself completely miserable. You're going to be afraid for your life every day of your life. And in my book said, you know, if he who takes the time to try to save his life will surely lose his life in the process. You know, and so...
Well, I just feel that this is such an extraordinary time because I do believe the Creator gave us free will. Creator gave us a manifesting tool through that free will.
Yep.
And so if people are miserable, if people are upset and angry and things are not going along so good with them, what are they focusing on? They're focusing on that stuff, which creates more. It's in our free will to choose something different. Okay, we can either choose to love or we can choose to hate. You can have both ways.
That's right. Jesus not only said that, said not to be afraid of these times and these signs and stuff like that, but he also said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, think about how small a mustard seed is, just a tiny bit of faith.
Well, people have trouble believing in that, you see.
Yeah.
Because they don't have faith.
well, they've also been taught to not have faith because of the great deception. Like you talk about the sacred hoop of life. Until I was blessed with your presence and Two Dog and Patty, until I come around to actually listening to what you had to say, you know, I didn't try to talk over you. I didn't try to convince you that your words were wrong. I actually paid attention to what you said, and I understood exactly the message that was given to you and shared with me that I never knew about that sacred hoop. I never was told about it. I never was told all sides of the story to make a decision for myself. You know, my life pretty much was manipulated from the day I was born till the day I finally got to where I am today. I had to come to my own realization that something in this world just didn't feel right. And that was because it was a planned thing. They wanted me to not believe in certain things. Convinced me that science was my God. Convinced me that the government had my best interest at heart, and that I could trust all these people, but I can't trust these because this one's a different color. This one's got a different view on religion, or this one, you know, that's not what my Jesus said. You see what I mean?
Well, the idea was to create chaos and confusion.
And they did a good job of it.
They did a good job, and now people are stumbling around because the light is shining, and they're trying to find their balance, right?
Yep. And it's ironic, is the balance thing. It just blows me away because, you know, I'm not, like, into astrology or anything like that, but I was born in October, which just so happens to be under the astronomical sign of Libra. Astrological sign of Libra, which is the scales of justice. And I don't know what that phoenix thing has about it, the fiery bird rising from the ashes, because when I was a child, literally, quite literally, in grade school, I used to draw this bird that, you know, had flaming wings and stuff like that, and I just thought it was a cool thing, but it was always imprinted in my head, that fiery bird rising from the ashes. And so as I'm sitting here thinking about it today, could I connect that scales of justice with that fiery bird, like the scales of justice rising from the ashes of all this deceit that we've been, you know, attacked with all this time, and, you know, basically opening up that veil and saying, look, here's the real truth. You see what I mean? Is that too far of a stretch?
Well, I think the phoenix is, the phoenix is a beautiful symbol, meaning it's rising from the ashes, okay? Life. It represents life, you know, and connectedness and reality and truth to me. It's a beautiful symbol that from the ashes, life is formed and born, okay? It's that Ouroboros, the cycle of life, death, life, and, you know, renewal and so on. And so, but something must, I guess, disintegrate or burn up or like, something will come always as, present proves past in our history, okay? Out of the ashes, comes, another opportunity, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
And we've been given many, throughout time, we've been given many chances, many opportunities, okay? Many things show us in history how people have been given warnings, people have been told, people have been given the message. But then there you go back to free will. You can either choose the light or choose the darkness. And then when there's a certain percentage of people that choose the darkness, which we have, frankly we have, because the scales have been out of balance for so long, that now is the time to rebalance the scales of dark and light, because dark without light doesn't exist and so on and so forth. But the scales, the rebalancing of the scales is about the mending of the hoop.
Wow.
We are in that time now of the mending of the sacred hoop, and it's all up to us people, because basically the choices that were made in the past destroyed that sacred hoop.
This is about
frequency. This is about energy, folks. This is what we're talking about. There wasn't an actual hoop. It was an energetic hoop that was put in place and thrived and survived and existed due to the ancient people living according to the original instructions that Creator gave us all. And when that started to be picked away at and taken down incrementally over millennia and millennia, starting over there in Europe with the ancient goddess and the earth ways and the, you know, you could say the pagan or the Wiccan, but they were all earth ways where people lived in relationship to the earth. And it's not just the earth. It's as what is above, so is below.
Yeah.
Our connectedness, you know. And the ancient people left us all these symbols in petroglyphs and various temples and ancient cultures left us these symbols in stone that basically speak truth to now and to reality and the ancient wisdom. So the sacred hoop was incrementally taken down by an usurper who, you know, basically, you know, it doesn't matter who you call it or what it is. It's a dark energy, okay? Something that wanted to destroy what is sacred. You could call it Antichrist. It doesn't matter, but it is something. It's an energy. It's a darker frequency, a lower frequency, that wanted to disrupt and corrupt what was sacred.
Yeah.
And we all lived in that sacred way.
Do you think
we all walked in a sacred manner? So you have this sacred hoop that was incrementally chipped away at, and the people and the cultures across the great waters lost their connectedness to the original instructions that were upholding the sacred hoop in that part of the world.
Do you think that simple drawing back when I was a child could have quite literally been a message that, you know, I didn't understand at that time?
Absolutely, because this is a collective consciousness, because we receive information from that collective frequencies, okay? People, you can call them visions, you can call them prophecies or whatever, or even messages, clear messages, but you know, oftentimes we receive certain things and you did that drawing, you didn't understand what it was. But that, in fact, is something that is in a frequency, a high frequency of reality and truth.
Well, all of my life I've been, I've been kind of like and keep in mind, folks, this ain't about me. I've already got past the point. It's not about me at all. It's not I or me or whatever. I'm just trying to. Unfortunately, when our language is the way it is, it emphasizes I or me a lot, and it doesn't get to the point. But nonetheless, all my life I feel like I've been a rebel. I've been like, I just didn't fit in. Like, I didn't belong here for some reason.
Well, I'm right there with you, and I know Two Dog and Patty, we're all the same that way. We all kind of didn't fit into the box. I mean, We're outside that box.
Maybe that's why we all found our way together eventually, because
well, I believe that. But I also call us circles, the sacred circle of life. Everything is created in that frequency of that sacred circle, right? The sacred hoop. We are hoopers.
Yeah. Well, I'm skinny, and so when I do the hula hoop, it looks funny, but I'm trying. Anyway, you know,
just to emphasize, just before I be quiet here, this is a timeline, the prophecy given to me, and then I found out also that it was not just the prophecy given to me, but it was also a Hopi prophecy, was this is the time of mending the sacred hoop. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we're talking about frequency then. We're talking about energy. We're talking about the power that we have to change things through our frequency, through our focus, through what's in our heart, through our words and what we believe in and what we focus on. Creator gave us this power, and all the ancient people lived according to that. They knew about frequencies. They knew about energies. They knew about the star systems and the connectedness of everything. What is above, so below. They knew that we were all related. They knew that we were related to everything of nature, energetically, not just the thinking process. So, yeah, you know, some guy sitting there by the apple trees, well, this is my relation. But in our culture, we say, we are all related. It's just not a statement. It's a fact through energy, through frequency.
I get that. I get that wholeheartedly because... You know, total strangers, I don't look at people like that like I don't know them. I really actually, honestly, deep down in my heart, I care about everybody. You know, for whatever reason, I don't want to see anybody, even the ones that's done me wrong. I don't want to see them done wrong. I kind of feel like that kid, you know, you and your brothers get in trouble and you hate to see your brothers punished. You know, we all did something bad, all right? So we're going to get punished, but... You hate to see your brothers get punished, even though...
Well, you feel it, right?
Yeah.
When they're getting smacked, boy, you feel it.
Yeah.
But in your part of the world over there, in my part of the world here, and Chief Charles Two Dog's part of the world there, and Patty Walking Turtle in her part of the world, we're in a process of mending the hoop. I know
that.
There are others out there, too. Because we are focusing on love. We are focusing on compassion. We are focusing on, and I'm going to throw the word out there, unconditional love, which is one of the most difficult challenges. But unconditional love, I feel, is source. I feel that we were created by Creator Mother Father from unconditional love, and I'm adding joy, because if you look out at the nature, if you look out at this world, it's extraordinary. It's awesome. It's so beautiful. And there had to have been a lot of joy about this creation. There had to have been unconditional love. You know, as we are saying, we're made in the image of God, you know, and we are sacred children to begin with. And then we got, you know, then we go all down different pathways, and then Creator gave us free will, and we're choosing either the dark or the light, you know, but we are co-creators. So I feel that, you know, this is a key piece in this timeline. As I was told by guidance and source, is that this is the time to do the sacred works, which is raising the frequency. I want to align with the highest divine frequency, which I believe is Creator, Mother, Father, and that unconditional love. So, therefore, I'd say my sacred work is to be that, okay?
Well,
be just, that.
Just the earth, just the gift of the earth alone. It has to be proof of love because... Like you said, it's just incredibly amazing. And why would you give something so wonderful, so vast to people if you didn't care about them?
Well, also, the awesomeness of the creation, of the sacred geometry of everything, just looking at that piece, looking at all the sacred medicines, everything we ever needed was given here upon this earth. That had to have come from an extraordinary love, right, for the people.
If you
for the children, for this creation.
If you wanted to just torment your creation, then you didn't have to put things down here that would heal them, right? you could just put them down there and basically just put the whole lake of fire right there and throw them in there and laugh and giggle because they're all screaming bloody murder, you know? But that's
the lake of fire exists, but out of the ashes rises the phoenix.
Yep.
You know, is new life, rebirth, and I think we are in that timeline now. People are awakening, and all this stuff, the curtain is rising, the manipulator behind the curtains are being shown. We're seeing it in every aspect of our life. in the education system, in the religious system, in the political system, in the banking system, in the technology system. And people are spinning, and now is the time to choose.
That's right.
You know, what do we want to manifest and create now? Because it is in our hands, because we are at that timeline of enlightenment, the age of Aquarius. It's in our hands, folks. Creator gave us extraordinary abilities and powers. We are not helpless, and it is not hopeless. It's all up to us. It's in our hands. So,
well, you said,
you know, what are you going to choose?
You said it in a different way than I was about to say it, but, you know, we got a lot of power. See, I don't believe that our Creator put us down here to fail. Even though we have that potential to choose to fail, I don't believe that's how. If you're going to show all the power and glory of creation, of God or your Creator, whatever, however you want to look at it, if you want to show the world or anybody how powerful you are, what better way to put that person, to put the power in the hands of your creation to quite literally beat the devil at his own game? You see what
I
mean?
I feel like we all are in a big school.
Yeah, me too.
That's my feeling. We're all in a big school. What are we going to learn from various things? The histories, the word, the teachings, the ancient messages, all the things that we've been left and given. What are we going to learn? What are we going to choose? It's in our hands. So I feel that, yes, learn from our mistakes, and always keep focused and in the direction of the light. You know, we're going to fall off the path. That's a challenge. You know, it's not a bad thing. I think we all have an opportunity in all circumstances. And I know my sister Patty always says this, and I'm going to be quiet in a minute, and she's absolutely right. I agree with her. There is darkness, there is evil, there is greed, there is hate, there is violence, but it's our choice. We are humans who have been given free will. You can choose to follow that path if you want. And I also believe that there are energies or frequency or an entity, whatever you want to call it, that is working very hard to draw us in, like planting these little, you know, candy seeds. Just give you candy over here, you go down that trail and it gets darker and darker, but the candy's so good, greed, so that you just keep scarfing it up and you're just looking at other people on the side suffering and you don't care because the candy's good where you're going.
Cool.
I don't know.
I was speechless. All right.
Well, that's an amazing image. It just came through me and I'm thinking, wow. The candy path, right?
Well, yeah, my brain just stopped at a dead stop. It's like, wow.
Even Hansel and Gretel gave us that image, like,
well,
the,
yeah,
crumbs and, right? Follow the path through the dark forest, you know, and make the choices and free will. All the fairy tales, all the little storybooks gave us all the things that are happening, just like we see in movies, like we see in Jericho, like we read in books. We're all given the messages.
Yep, and the morals of all these stories, however you want to look at them, any, whether the books are divinely inspired or not, if you listen to any story, if you pay attention to the words of any song, or you listen to anything that's going on out there, or you witness anything, there's a moral behind every single instance under the sun, and if you learn from that, you're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past. If you actually learn of the, and you get the message. That makes
Aren't we
sense.
Given? I know I said I'd be quiet because I want to hear from my sister and brother there. Aren't we given in the messages, though, that the light always conquers the darkness? There's evil, there's darkness, there's troubles, and people get caught in it and they flail around and they get sucked in, and some don't get out and others do get out. And
well,
you know, I mean, every story, every cartoon, every whatever's, and
even,
I'm just saying.
Even science proves that. You turn on the
right.
light, it's no longer dark.
Well, you are the light.
All right, well, I typed in the safe word, so you guys take the...
Okay, I'm going to stop, get off now. I've got to do a little something. I'll be right back.
It's all you, Patty and Two Dog. Are you there?
OCO, by the way. Hello, my relation. Taco Api. one of the things that I wanted to share with the people is, you ever heard of a thing called the World Summit, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing radio with them, and matter of fact, I did one a couple of days ago, and they're talking some very, very good things about unity and whatever, you know. And actually, I actually marched with one of them when he was 18, and I was 8. We wow. met.
That's cool.
And the World Summit is a great thing, you know, what they're talking about. And it's pretty much what I've been talking about on here. So I'm hoping that'll come to pass. They've actually invited me to come to the World Summit, so I'm going to see what happens.
Well, you know what? I can't wait for the day whenever your vision comes to pass, when you got all those flags of all the representation around the world, around the Tree of Peace. I can't wait to see that.
Well, you know, what we're doing right now, we're doing some talking about doing this and send a message out through the media to actually let the world see that people around the world are pretty much the same. You know, we all love our children, we all love our wives, our husbands, we eat together, and everything else. So we're not that different around the world, my man.
Yep. Cool.
Good morning.
Okay, Patty's back. I'm going to pass the talking stick to her for just a minute.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Evening, afternoon, wherever you are. Good to be back on the radio. And, I was just thinking when Barb was talking and stuff about unconditional love and how difficult it is. And she's right that, you know, it's the most difficult thing, easy to say, very easy to say, but, to put it into action it's a constant challenge. Because even though we understand what unconditional love is, the actual employment of it in our lives is not always that easy, because there are so many external things that affect our ability to think in that way, to think in that unconditional way. You know, we get aggravated at little things. We wake up in the morning, we're not feeling quite well. You know, it's a rough morning, and the dog's barking next door, and oh my gosh, can you just please make that dog quiet, you know? And in the grocery store, and you're trying to get through the aisles, you're in a hurry, but this woman in front of you, she's taking her time, and by gosh, she's blocking the whole aisle. Unconditional love is when none of this affects us. Well, unconditional love is the epitome of the truth of who we are. But it's not easy. It's a work in progress. It's something that has so many different facets to it. Just like life, you know, the sheer amount of emotions that we experience are immense and enormous, and this whole world with every individual that is here, you can't experience the same thing standing side by side with a person seeing or going through the same experience. Both of you will take something different from it. And it's the same thing when we say unconditional love, that we need to achieve it. It's not something you say and it's done. It's never that easy. It's something that we really have to apply in our lives and bring to the forefront. And I think the only way that we can get a firm footing of that inner understanding within ourselves is to first love ourselves unconditionally. Because we bring so much baggage with us throughout our lives, things that memories and events that have happened that
for whatever reason, we've decided it's not something I want to deal with right now. And we can put it back there, say, in our backpack, and we can walk with it, and it's okay. You know, but that little aspect of our lives, what happened to us as a child, what happened to us as an adult, it can still express itself through our thoughts and our actions without us even knowing it. And pretty soon we come to a point in our lives when perhaps we feel like we're less than. You know, we look at the world and the way the world is acting and the way the world is going, and we listen to what people say, and we say, well, I'm not that way. Something's wrong with me. I need to be better. I need to... And all of those things are the block. The block that is within you that says, I don't love myself.
I'm not good enough. I can relate to that.
I've been
down that road. But, you know, thankfully I've had people like y'all to show me there's a difference in the world. You know, there are good people out there that really care. So
that's exactly right. But we have to care about ourselves in that unconditional way. Stop putting the limitations on ourselves. Stop expressing the what ifs. I could have, I should have. You know, that's one thing that life is amazing. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on the ride of a lifetime in every sense of the word. There is nothing like this. No experience that could ever be this profound. And we're part of it. And we spend half the time that we're here worrying about how we fit in and how other people perceive us. Never once stepping back and saying, you know what? I love my life. I love who I am.
Yeah, you know, there's one other aspect to add to that. We spend a lot of time in our life, especially when you first go down the rabbit hole, spending all the time worrying about, our lives actually being shortened. We're feared we're going to be gone up out of here. You know, something's going to happen to us or our families and stuff. So we miss out on a lot of miracles of life. We miss out on each other's life. Actually, when you're down so far down in that rabbit hole that you're actually so paranoid that you think everything and everybody and his brother's out to get you, it's a miserable time. You know, to come to a realization that you're really you're always in jeopardy, everything's terrible. That's why I wanted to do today's show and call it Winning the Game. The beast is eating itself alive. We're witnessing it. We're watching people do miraculous things and waking up and shining that light of truth underneath the bed and in the closets, you know, chasing out the boogeyman and all that kind of stuff. I think we're living, like Barbara said, in an amazing time. This ride, like you just said, Patty, it's been one heck of a ride to get where we're at. But I think where we're going now, that we've decided we're going to get off this crazy ride and define our own destiny, you know, with Two Dog's tree of peace, and, he's going to say it's not his tree, it's everybody's tree, I understand that, but with his vision of gathering all the different nations' flags and putting them around there as a symbol of what we could accomplish if we could just come together. And to put all those symbols around that symbol of peace and love, that's a wonderful thing to me. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's bringing those scales of justice back into balance, the sacred hoop, like Barbara's talking about earlier. It's mending it, you know, mending the fence those bridges that we kind of, as a society, have burnt between one another. You know, you're different to me, so we're going to burn this bridge so you can never come over and stand next to me again. Well, in my book of faith, our Creator built a bridge back to us in the form of Jesus. Whether or not you want to call him a messenger or a fable or a fairy tale, that was the purpose of Jesus doing what Jesus done. And I got the message. All right, I got the message, because he said to treat my mom right. He said to treat my brothers and sisters right. He said to to love and honor each other. And he taught me that it wasn't all about me. It was about all of us, our family, as a, you know, as a society, a world family, or however you want to look at that one that everybody keeps talking about, the connection that is between all of us. Our Creator didn't create any trash, only treasure. And that's why we need to be uplifting one another. We need to be using that power that we've given of our free will and our voice to bring people up to, you know, where everybody can enjoy this this life that we lead. You know, this amazing gift.
Real quick, Shaziz, you know, to be honest, when this vision actually happened, I was kind of what Patty said, you know, maybe it was for the Red Nations, you know. I didn't know. And now I'm up to 67 because Catalina and Boss came in a few weeks ago. And man, I'm just tripping because everybody around the world has been sending, and I'm grateful. I am so grateful for this. But it's grown into 67 now, and we're just grateful right now.
Well, your vision is resonating to your brothers and sisters around the world. And even if it might be happening slower than we'd all like to see, you know, everything, according to my book, it all happens on God's time. There's a reason for every season under the sun. And that's
the way I look at it. The way I look at it, too, Shaziz, is everything's going to be in grandfather's time.
That's right. It's going to happen at the right time, the perfect time, the best time of all times. It's going to happen when every piece of the puzzle falls into place, and it will make sense to everybody and his brother why it happened at that specific point in time and history or whatever. What do you think? Wow.
Well, to be honest, you know, I'm still a little flabbergasted, if you say, you know, to go to your mailbox and there you are. But I totally agree with you. It's, you know, Metakowaski, you know, we're all related. And just to see the mailbox and see two in there at one time. I've seen four in there at one time.
Do you want to see something that's a miracle too, dog?
It's amazing.
I want to point out something to you may or may not have thought about. The flags out there were pretty much put into place to kind of separate everybody into this is America, that's Russia, that's China, these are separate nations, and
yeah,
you know, we are our own people. But you took that same deal and you turned it into something that instead of separating the people from country to country, it united, it brought them together. You see what I mean? Now that, to me, is a miracle. A tool that was basically to separate the nations is bringing the nations together. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, and the way this is being done, you know, as far as the flags are concerned, you look at the Iroquois Confederacy and what the peacemaker was talking about as well, you know, that you take one arrow, it's easy to break. You put a bundle together, much harder. Unity, you know. And in a way, I'm hoping and I'm praying to Creator that these flags are kind of used in that manner.
I understood a story that you was talking about the rainbow people, and I was thinking about all these flags and all the different colors and what actually makes up a rainbow, and it's really ironic that those two really, they kind of go together. What do you think?
Well, the rainbow prophecy, if you think about it, and, you know, Three Crow and Walking Turtle can help me with this, I think, personally, the rainbow prophecy is coming true. It's happening. And brothers and sisters around the world is starting to talk with each other now, because I actually, like I said, I even spoke with the World Summit, I think, 2 days ago. So this is amazing.
Well,
it's I think that there are many prophecies that are unfolding. The mending of the hoop prophecy.
Yeah, that one too.
Our time. The return of the sacred feminine prophecy goes along with this. The rainbow warrior, spiritual warriors prophecy. You know, these are on the, I guess you could say high on the totem pole. I'm going to use a totem pole. High on the totem pole, prophecies are unfolding, and the opposite prophecies are unfolding as well. So it's sort of like this jockeying for position, right? Of the dark and the light. And it's sort of like, again, we're in the middle. Every one of us is standing at this crossroads to choose to awaken or to just continue to wander around in that dark place and of despair and believing in the system that tells us that, you know, we're hopeless people, we're stupid or dumbed down, or we have no power, or we have nothing, we can do nothing because the system is too powerful for us, you know, or whatever. But people are starting to awaken, and that's a prophecy in itself. You know, this timeline we are in, the age of Aquarius, enlightenment, your light, let your light shine bright.
As crazy as it may sound, the darkness may be able to surround that light, but could never go in the center.
Well, you have, what is it? Let's talk about enlightenment, because what do you think that it does fully represent, you know? It doesn't just mean awakening to the fact that Zuckerberg suckered us all, or there's a deep state, or there is a cabal, or there's a Luciferian or Illuminati group. What does it mean to me? It means, you know, enlightenment is an awakening to our place here, our sacredness, and that there is a divine creation, and that this earth is a living being, and that all things are connected energetically and frequency-wise and a spirit in everything. You know, enlightenment, let the light shine inside of you, you know, is to be open to the sacred things, the original instructions, you know. When there's a term we use called, this is how it goes, it's let us have a good red and blue day. And some people might jump to the conclusion with that, well, let us have a good red and blue day means let the weather be good today. But that's not what it's about. Because it's about the red is the earth frequency, the energy, the living earth, and the blue is the above and all of creation above. So let us have a good red and blue day really means let us learn something today. Let us be enlightened. Let us awaken some more today. Let the knowledge come into me, all right? Let the frequency of light come enter into me, the truth of things. That's what let us have a good red and blue day means. So just to share what a little bit of my perception of enlightenment. So what do you guys think?
Some people call it the age of reasoning. And basically, I'm always saying about common sense, you know, we could rule our lives with common sense. That'd be a start. And for me to be truly enlightened means it's got your eyes wide awake. You are actually learning and you're paying attention that if this is a school that we're in, you're getting ready to graduate because you finally get it. You understand what this world is all about. You know, to me, this world is, at one point in my life, it actually, I thought the world revolved around me. You know, I was selfish, I had my ego, I had everything I needed that I thought I needed, with the exception of everyone else's cooperation. And now, when I realized that the world didn't revolve around me, and that there were people in this world, everyone in this world was just as important as I am, and that we were all supposed to be helping one another out in order to take this wonderful gift that we've been given, such as this beautiful earth that we're living on, and each other, that this is an amazing opportunity to where we could do something so profound to it. Let's say this was all an experiment. Let's say it was, you know, creation or whatever. If I was God, which I'm obviously not, and I put my creation down there and I wanted to see how well that my creation could perform, how far that they could actually go, What better way to glorify your Creator but to take and use the gifts that you've been given to bring society up to the highest level of humanity or enlightenment possible by treating and learning with one another, treating each other with respect and love, and then finally, when you get to the point where, man, you just can't do anything any better than what you've already done. All the best paintings in the world have been painted, and all the problems in the world have been solved, and everybody's working together, and everybody's needs are met. I think that that's possible. Anything's possible. I mean, Henry Ford thought so. He said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Because if you don't believe you can do it, then you're never going to try. And you're not going to succeed with the mind that says that you're going to fail. And so that's why I reject all the doomsday scenarios. That's why I reject all the negativity in the world. And there was a time where I absorbed negativity like a sponge. I got so absorbed in negativity, everything was negative. I was negative. And every time I was around somebody, I shared that negativity with them. And they shared their negativity with me. Finally, one day, I don't know what happened, but I was sitting down. I got so depressed that I went down to visit with some of my family. And as I sat around the table, I was already sad. I was already depressed, but nobody had really noticed because they was too busy talking about all the terrible things going on. They were talking about this one's dying of cancer and that one's dying of cancer. And it seemed like every story had to top each other. They all had to be, I'm sicker than you, or my leg hurts more, or your leg hurts, but my brain hurts, or whatever, all that. And then they offered me a cup of coffee. I got up, I got myself a cup of coffee, I came, sat back down, and I continued to listen in on my family. And then suddenly two of my family members come in, and they were yelling at the top of each their lungs at each other and just cursing one another up and down a storm. And finally, it all boiled up inside me, and I said, my God, I can't take this anymore. I'm getting the bleep up out of here. And they all looked at me all crazy, like, well, what's wrong with you? And I said, well, I come in here, I was depressed, and I needed the comfort of my family, but after listening to all the stories that you all just got through telling you, my life ain't so bad. I'm going home and living in peace.
You know, it reminds me of parents, let's say healthy parents, and I don't know, they're probably far and few between, but healthy parents to send their children off into the world, right, and they hope and they pray and focusing on, well, you know, I want my child to have a good life. I want my child to be a good person. I want my child to be a kind person. I want my child not to have to be hit with all this bad stuff, negative stuff, harmful things. You know, we all have that hope. But I do know as a parent that my sons, my daughters, and even my grandchildren are going to go out in the world and they're going to have a lot of challenges. But I pray for them that they come from their heart and make good decisions, that what they do determine in life will be good or better or for the highest good. That's all my prayer and my hope, you know. So they'll go on their journey, you know, but I can only give them a foundation. Foundation, the way I brought them up, right? I can plant seeds, I can give them a foundation on some level, but they're going to go out into the world. They're going to be met with challenges. They're going to be tempted. They're going to do good things. They're going to fall down and do dark things. They're going to make mistakes, you know. Yeah. But I still love my children unconditionally. I still pray for them. And I look at this as the same thing like Creator Mother Father puts all the children down here of her creation, his creation, and has the same hope, the same prayer, the same, you know, knowledge that, yes, my children there on the earth are going to meet all these obstacles. They're all going to be met with challenges. But I gave them free will. That's a piece in their foundation they have. So I gifted the children that, and I gifted them everything that they would ever need on this place, this Mother Earth, where I planted them on this place, this sacred place. So this is the same I feel as a human experience, you know, as Creator Mother Father's experience with all of us children. You know, I believe that we are the hope of Creator. You know, what are we going to choose? It's in our hands. We're adults. You know, we grew up. We had certain things planted in our foundation. Yes, some of it was in our human experience was way out of sync, harmful. disruptive, or whatever you want to call it, we were all given these things, but we were also given free will by Creator Mother Father. You know, so that's how I look at this experience. I call it the big school. And I do say that I think we are all the hope, not only of Creator Mother Father, but all the ancestors that have gone before us. All the spirits, all the helpers, if you want to say angels, you know, whomever, whatever. But not only them, but of the forests, of the plant people, of the water people, of the creeper crawlers, of all things that Creator placed here. We are the hope of these things. And what are we going to choose? Free will. There we are again at that point at the crossroads.
Yeah. And then,
well, I got something to say on free will. You know, it's we all talk about free will and how important free will is to our lives and to our walk, and it's true. I mean, that is the big sticker, isn't it? Because free will, the statement itself says that I have the right to be and do and say as I choose, right? I mean, that's what free will is all about. And so each of us determine through our own choices, our own free will, where we stand on any given aspect or topic of life. So we accept that we are given this choice, and this choice belongs to us individually. My free will belongs to me. My choices belong to me. You have your free will, and your choices belong to you. But the sticker is, it's a trick. It's a trick that this life plays on us, not Creator. We come here with free will. We make our choices every single day.
And we have
but yet we look at other people and we say, you made the wrong choice. You didn't do it right. You are making the wrong choices. So we determine through our own free will that their free will is different from ours. That their free will somehow must hold our judgments, whether they're true or not, by our own perceptions, right? So maybe that's the sticking point that always gets us to the point to where we feel defeated, to the point to where we look out at the world and we say, things are so bad. Oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I do? And we start sometimes to absorb that negativity because we see it in other people, and we've determined by our own choices and our own free will that they must be wrong.
Yeah, and there's also in that song that we played at the beginning of this show where Rush talked about, you know, even if you choose not to make a choice, you still have made a choice. And so it's crazy, just by not even choosing, you can allow things to go by.
Yes, thank God for Rush. That's all I got to say.
Well, the thing is, though, is that our free will belongs to us individually, and our choices belong to us. We own it all.
Yep.
We own it all. If we own our choices, then why are we concerned with that other person's choices? Why are we concerned with that other person's free will? Does it interfere with our free will? Nothing interferes with our free will. The events and circumstances of life will happen over and over and over and over again throughout our lives, good, bad, indifferent.
Well, that's
why it's our choice. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. That's why I like the symbology of the lighthouse, because the lighthouse is down there to give you a choice. You can see it. You can recognize it. You can choose whether to keep going one direction or another, but nonetheless, the only job that lighthouse is to do out there is to show a message. That's it. All right, and when we act like that lighthouse, and we just take ourselves and, you know, shine our light out there towards the world as an example, or, you know, something to show people, they can choose whether to follow it or not. We have no choice over their choices. They have to choose to whatever they want to follow. And so that's the best that we can do, as long as we're doing our best. Am I wrong?
Well, the thing is, I believe, is that we are only responsible for our own choices.
Yeah, that's my point.
That's what I was going to say. And so, who are we to say that the choice someone else is making is a wrong choice? As soon as we step into that, we are judgmental.
Yeah.
And so
we judge ourselves.
We judge ourselves, but we also judge others. So is.
But I mean, in the judging of others, we judge ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. Yep.
I used to
tell
my kids that.
Talking about frequencies. Okay, so energetically, what happens through judgment? What is the frequency?
Well, it's negative.
I'd say.
Because now you put yourself above somebody else by, you know, questioning them, you know, putting them on the spot, whatever. You know, you can point out things to people, that's fine, but to say, you know, you're wrong because of this or that or whatever... How do I know they're wrong? I don't even know if I'm right. How can I prove I'm right? You see what I mean?
Well, how can I say to someone, well, what you're doing is wrong, you have to do it my way?
Yeah.
I mean, how can I say that to someone? I just don't get that piece. But we all do that, I'm just saying. It's like, but just looking at that, I think it's important, you know, to judge someone and then to say you need to do it this way and then you'll be correct. Because it's my, you know, my idea or my determination or my perception is right and yours is wrong.
Well, a simple example, what you and Patty just talked about is what we mentioned earlier on the show. See, all these people out there that are advocating, to control speech or to control each other, or, you know, it all's about gun control or speech control or, you know, whatever kind of control. Control whatever somebody else is doing. When in the process of trying to tell everybody where they can go with their free will and to quite literally judge what is right and what is wrong, they turn around and basically put it back on themselves at the same time. You slung it out there. Now it's a law. Now this doesn't affect me. You didn't like what I was doing. You said I couldn't say certain things, but now you can't say certain things either. You just took your freedom and threw it a little bit further under the bus. Does that make any sense?
You know, I can say it like this. You know, if you look about anything in my life, okay, in my life as a young kid, one guy actually asked me, said, I don't understand it, and he was talking to me. He said, You ought to be angry and hold so much animosity, it's pitiful. Well, see, here's the thing. I hold no anger or animosity to anyone because we are in a time when spirits get eaten, and actually it would eat my spirit up if I did.
Yeah, I figured that out. The term that I figured it out through was holding grudges. Grudges are like a big old giant anchor on your back, and the more you put on there, the harder it is to walk through life. Because you hate this guy, you hate that guy, you know, you're mad at this person.
I can't judge anyone. I'm not the judge, man. Yeah. I don't do that.
Well, see, that's when I finally got past the point where I actually learned in my heart the true meaning of forgiveness and, you know, was able to even quite literally forgive myself for being stupid all my life and, you know, forgive others that, you know, I got it. I finally realized that the world didn't revolve around me. That I wasn't nowhere even remotely perfect. And all the things that I'd been carrying around in my heart, they were darkening my heart. And they weren't allowing my heart to do what I believe my heart was meant to do. And that's to just pour out as much love as I could possibly muster so that everybody else out there could feel that I guess if you want to use the word awakening that I felt, I mean, When the light came on in my mind and my heart the way that it did, I cried. And it wasn't because I was sad. It was because I was overwhelmed by that anything in this world, any presence or any being or, you know, even nature itself could love me enough to forgive me for being foolish all my life and mistreating people, mistreating myself, mistreating nature, and basically gave me a path to redemption, if that's what you want to say. I'm just saying, those are the best words that I can come up with, because what I felt are so far beyond, you know, the words of man. And I know that all three of you have felt this before in your life, the same exact thing, that the message that was delivered to you in the way that it was delivered to you, there are no human words that you could formulate to explain the type of love that you felt at that time and the reason why you felt that your mission was so important to the grand scheme of things, that you no longer felt like you were insignificant in this world, that you felt like you were a part of a greater connection or a greater being, that enlightenment. Does any of that make any sense besides me, you know, to anybody else besides me?
Well, I've never felt personally insignificant. I felt many times that I had nothing to add to or nothing to achieve in this area or whatever. But I've never felt within myself that I was insignificant. I've always felt that I'm here because I'm here. And this is my life. And I've never held judgments against other people, but I have indeed held judgments against myself. Every time I make a choice, it's through a judgment that I have made on my perception of life as I see it. So I am grateful. I am enormously grateful for everyone who has come into my life, those who hold the sacred things and those who deny the sacred. Each and every one of them has taught me that I am who I am and I have my place. I do understand how we can switch that, how we can look at life and somehow superimpose it upon ourselves as if we have responsibility toward that person and what they think and how they think about us, you know. But that doesn't matter. When we look at the truth of who and where we come from, when we look at the truth of who we are, when we're alone with ourselves, that's the key right there to me. That is the key that tells us I'm in the right place for me. We spend too much time putting ourselves out there to kind of gauge ourselves against what's happening out there. And I think that is the wrong way. I think that I am who I am because of every one of those experiences, but I don't own any of those.
Well, I agree, but when that pastor said that my words were filthy rags to my Creator, I made a big mistake when he said that, is that I allowed those words to get me to quite literally question my own faith. I allowed those words that I didn't believe when I heard that my words were filthy rags to my Creator. I didn't believe it. I honestly didn't believe it. But I allowed for a period of time those words to affect me in such a negative way that I'm like, well, what's the point then? Why would I even be here? If all I am to my Creator is a filthy rag and my words don't mean nothing, then when I say my prayers, why would my Creator listen to filthy rags? You know, why would he listen to
them? But this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. You knew who you were.
Yep.
Yet you allowed this other person's experiences and perceptions to change who you thought you were.
Yeah.
Who you were. And this is what I'm saying, is that we're going to run into this. People are going to throw sticks, and they're going to throw stones, and they're going to throw words, and they're going to throw all manner of negativity at you. But it doesn't belong to you, because you are separate from all of that.
Yep.
You, within yourself, are whole, a whole entity, complete, and you have everything that you need to be who you are. And you should look at that and say, well, his perception is that what I'm saying is wrong, but my truth tells me that I am right.
Yeah.
You know, and if there comes a time when you hear words and you say, well, wow, I never thought of that. Well, does that apply in my life? Well, it surely does. Then you have done the right thing, because you have internalized that. You have found a truth that you can hold, and it changes you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the taking on of the others, that the other perceptions, as your own, as if they belong to you, that is a stumbling block for us. I think.
Well, once I shook that off, my life changed, and I realized that it's not one pillar that holds up the roof. It's all many, many pillars that hold up the roof.
And I can tell you this, man. My whole life, I've been told I'm never going to be nothing, never have been nothing, never going to be. Okay? I never let that bother me, man. I kept going with what I believe in, and I'm going to continue that. As long as Creator allows me to have a heartbeat, I'm going to continue that. So to me, whatever someone says to me, that's just sticks and stones to hurt you, break your bones, but words that never hurt you. If you believe in something, don't doubt it. Go for it.
Well, I think
doubt is proof of that.
Yeah.
Doubt is the disease. Doubt is a disease, man. I'm proof of it.
Yep. You know, from where you came from where we all came from, to where we've been, and actually probably even to the extent of where we're going, and the fact that we're here right now and actually trying to throw these words of wisdom out there so that other people can hear what we have to say and know that you know, there's something different other than what they've actually experienced in life. That there is chance, there is hope, there's life after the rabbit hole. You know what I mean?
You take some of the words that has actually been said, okay, to a lot of people, including my little girl when she was like 3, right?
Yeah.
And what they said about my little girl was, how they put it, poor little ending and never make nothing. And now look what this child's doing, man. It's incredible.
Well, from the stories I've heard from you, your child has been a great inspiration to a lot of people, and walking around carrying and sharing love with people and wisdom.
She's medicine.
Yep, that's basically where I was trying to go. That it great minds think alike.
I've realized, I've often said this, that in our lives, there will always be someone who's going to throw a stone at us, or a stick at us, or a word, or, verbally attack us, disbelieve us, throw doubt at us, that's going to question us, and so on. We're always going to meet someone like that. That's just the way life is. And I think it's about our own sense of self and our own truth within ourself, what I know to be true. Now, it doesn't mean that when somebody says something that might seem as an attack or judgment, it doesn't mean that you should fully ignore it. My personal way is that I'm going to take that, I'm going to sit with it for a minute. I need to know, am I missing something? Because we do. We overlook certain things about ourselves, But for me personally, I will take it and I will sit with it and I will ask, Creator, because I want to know the truth. Is this something that I'm missing here? Is this something about me that I've overlooked that affects a person or that they're telling me or screaming at me or whatever? You know, I need to know. I want to seek the truth, even about myself, if it's a fault or if it's something where I've fallen short. I'm not saying just because people will throw sticks and stones, at us or judgment at us or throw doubt at us, that we shouldn't investigate and just ignore it, you know. But certainly, I don't believe it. I want to know truth. I want to know if I've fallen short of some awareness about myself, and am I really affecting this person in that way they're saying or whatever, or are they just, I guess, you know, just doing their job, what people do. They throw doubt around, or they question you, or whatever, right?
That's the thing, though, Barb, what you just said. You said, I have to ask myself.
Yeah.
And that's correct to me.
Right.
To ask myself if what I am doing is affecting that person negatively or positively.
Right.
If what I am doing is the reasoning behind that person's actions, right? That's where we should go instead of saying that person's wrong, that person, right.
Yeah,
right,
and, and certainly people's words, I know people say sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you, but words are powerful. They do hurt us. Okay, but then we have work to do, I think, in that moment is, okay, let me find out why I feel such hurt here about what that person said, right?
That's exactly right.
And if you're a child, words are powerful. They can crush your spirit, you know. They can't kill it, but they can crush it. And I think this is part of our learning and growing, like Creator Mother Father put us down here on the earth, just like we see our children going the world. Oh, they're going to meet people who are going to, you know, hurt them. You know, they're going to have negativity. They're going to meet these things. They are going to meet the sorrows I met in my life. They're going to meet the challenges that I met in my life. You know, and how do we work with these things? And again, I feel it's like our inner knowing, our personal truth, and our relationship to Creator that gives us the insights and the wisdom and the knowing of, you know, am I responsible for what that person is saying? I want to know, right? That's my free will to choose to do that, right?
Well, yeah, it's like I have a confession to make. I, according to Mark, terrorized my cats with the red dot.
What?
You know? Yeah, I got this little laser pen, and my cats come walking through, and I'll click that thing on, and they come running, and they chase that dot all over the place, and I laugh and laugh and laugh. And Mark will come out of the room, and he'll say, "You're terrorizing them cats." And I'll just look at him and smile and go back to what I'm doing, because I know I'm not terrorizing cats, you know. But when he first started telling me that, I thought, am I terrorizing the cats? And then I thought, you know, well, they're the ones chasing the dot. So, and they come to me and they ask me to chase the dot, you know. So I'm sitting here and I'm saying, I tell them all the time, I'm not terrorizing them. They want this. And you know what? Okay. They do want it because
That's an interesting perspective, sis.
Well, the same thing could apply to people out there in this world that are chasing the
dot. Exactly.
They want it.
Well, I can't get Mark to chase the red dot.
Well, he's exercising his free will.
That's an interesting perspective, though. So you say, who's out there with these laser beams throwing these red dots around, and people going whack-a-doodle chasing them and falling off cliffs and chasing the red dots? Who's responsible for that?
Well, I'd say Mark's got a little bit of enlightenment going on, because he's not going to take his free will and chase the red dot.
He's stubborn, that's why.
But, you know, I figured out Red, my one cat, he loves to jump up on my lap and say,
Oh my gosh.
So when I see him coming, I just get the red dot.
Well, what are you going to do one of these days when that cat has the laser? Are you going to chase the dot?
No, I'm not interested in the dot either. It's just something really.
It's playtime, right?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting metaphor about how people's choices, the free will of the kiddies, want to play with that red dot, right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you got to let them play. I mean,
well, it's their nature.
Yeah. And
well, I think a lot of people in the world are chasing the red dot.
What?
I say I think a lot of people in this world are chasing the red dot right now.
But it's their choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's their choice. And like Mark, he won't chase the red dot. Okay, that's fine. You know, I got a cat that will. That's fine. But this is what I'm saying is that everybody's got a button to push, right? I got a button that I could push on you if I wanted to. If I wanted to. And after I push that button, you would chase that red dot.
You'd be down,
right? Yeah, but I could push that button if I wanted to.
Yep.
What stops me from pushing that button?
Because you have a loving heart.
I stop me, yeah. Because exactly. I go inside myself and I say, would it be right for me to push that red button, to push that button and have two dogs chase that red dot? You know? No, that wouldn't be right. But
free,
I can look
you
over here.
It's your free will.
Right.
Well, like you're saying, I feel like you're saying this, is that we all have the capacity to push people's buttons. We all have the capacity to choose that, you know, to hurt someone or say something mean or nasty or unkind or something that isn't thoughtful and, you know, reactionary and judgmental and so on. We all have the capacity. Well, we're all given that opportunity over and over and over again, especially when somebody throws a judgment at us or an unkind word or, you know, we could lash back at them, and then you go fist fighting with each other.
Yeah,
you know.
But I think the
chasing that red dot.
I think the solutions are on the table. We started off this show saying winning the game. The beast is eating itself alive, and there's a lot that could actually go on into that. And I'm sure that a lot of you guys got a lot more to say before the Knights of the Round Table. So I'm actually going to kind of start winding this down a little bit earlier so that people, because I know we're going to have a lot to say before we hop out of here, because every time we try to leave the Knights of the Round Table, it's almost impossible. We'd do probably a 24-hour marathon if we could, because we all got a lot to say. But I think, honestly, when I'm looking out there, I think that we are winning the game. I don't think that we've won. I think that our job isn't even remotely complete. But I think I see people out there building arcs. I see people helping each other get prepared for, you know, the tough days that may be ahead of us and actually pointing out solutions to each other. You know, there's wonderful people over there at People for People Radio Network, and there's people all over this planet right now that are shouting out, trying to common sense, put some common sense on the table to try to steer this boat in a different direction. And I think that this is a good thing. I think that the results of what we've been witnessing here as far as the alternative media is that the mainstream media finally took notice. They can't not take notice when their ratings start falling to the dirt, when their advertisers start dropping by the wayside, and then when the advertisers are pulling their advertisements off of certain places because of certain types of speech or whatever side of the fence they're on, and then they find out that the other side of the fence, they're not buying from them either, so now they're losing on both sides. They have to make a choice. They have a choice to make right now. Either lose part of the money from this side or lose all the money from both sides, or find some happy medium in there so that they can at least keep their business rolling. All the money makers out there in the world, including the bankers, are getting scared because the people are doing something that they had not planned. They knew they could manipulate your minds. They knew they could manipulate your heart. That's how they've been able to make so much money and convince you to go to war with one another year after year by telling lies and propagandizing and playing on your heartstrings and, you know, and playing on your anger and your differences. They figured out ways to manipulate you. Well, now their own tools are biting them in the booty, if you understand what I'm saying, because guys like Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook over there, he's selling out his stocks because he sees the light at coming down the end of the tunnel, which is you, and you're not happy because of all the different shenanigans going on with selling your personal information and all that, and he thinks that, oh boy, if I don't do something now, I'm going to lose it all. So he's selling out. Everybody else is selling out. The elitists are turning against one another, throwing each other up underneath the bus, and the truths are being told. The veil of the curtain, like I said, one person put some information on the table, the other one ran by and grabbed a hold of the curtain and took it to the other end of the stage, and now we can actually see the man behind the curtain, and we realize that the emperor has no clothes. So the truths are coming out. And you want to know how they got out? Is that you turn that light of truth on. You turned it on the darkness. The darkness may have the capability to surround the light, but it never has the capability of overcoming the light. Each and every one of you are a candle. You know, you're that little flame that you, as long as you're in that dark spot, there's one little spot right there in that darkness that will never be able to beat that tiny little bit of light that's shining in there. Unless you snuff that light out by your own free will, then it can never overcome you. And that's just you as an individual. Imagine if you and your brothers and sisters bring those lights together like Two Dog is bringing those flags from many nations together, and they're coming in. Maybe not as fast as we'd like to see it, but they're coming in. If you're from a nation and you're listening to this show and you resonate with Two Dog's vision, send him a flag from your nation, so that your nation is also represented around the Tree of Peace. It's a vision that shines a lot of light, and it's a symbol of what would have been otherwise a separation because of all the different types of flags separating nation from nation. Now, these are symbols of unity because you see them standing side by side with one another. We have such an awesome potential right now as we stand at this crossroads to do something so incredibly profound. And that's to see how far that we can enlighten one another. That's to see how far we as humanity can actually go. I believe in the ultimate dream. And like I said earlier, the fat lady ain't sung. And until the fat lady sings, then we still have an opportunity. And while we're standing here with access to all this knowledge and all this information and the capability of talking amongst one another and sharing these ideas and solutions and helping one another respectfully, you know, understanding that we do have physical differences or, you know, even spiritual differences, we put all that aside for the betterment of all humanity and we move forward to making this world a better place. We could quite literally, according to everything under the sun, bring about a heaven on earth, a literal utopia. But you personally have to be that light, and you got to be that little tiny seed. I'm going to play this song up out of here after everybody gets a chance to have their last words of wisdom out here. But I'm going to play this song. It was Bette Midler's Rose song, because if you actually listen to the story in that, and it explains of how amazing one little seed can actually become. You are that seed. So be like the Johnny Appleseeds of the world and go out and feed the hungry. Plant food in every single corner, every single place under the sun. Plant a seed of joy, happiness, of love, peace in your brother and sister's heart and watch that grow. Watch them become something that was once a little hard shell seed is now this beautiful red fluffy rose. Or a pink rose if you like it. You know, white roses. Roses come in so many different colors, it's amazing. That's, you want to talk about the glory of your creator? You go look at the roses. Go look at any flower. Go look at the vast amount of flowers that are out there. Those are all different colors. They got their differences, but when they're all standing side by side with each other, you see the most beautiful picture you have ever seen in the history of your lifetime and then some. Look out to the greatness of this world, and then look in the mirror, and you will see that you're part of that same greatness. So with that said, I gotta let this words of wisdom move on to somebody else, Acker. Who wants to go first? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once.
All right. I'll jump in here. And beautiful words, Shaziz. Thank you, and thank everyone for listening today and being here. Yeah, I feel how awesome this time is that we're all living, and we've remarked on that before about how this is extraordinary. We are living in the time of so many prophecies. We've known about these prophecies for a long time, and now here we are, right in the middle of prophecies unfolding, and it's in our hands to what we want to manifest and create. That's the gift that Creator gave to us, our free will, and the will and freedom to choose either the light or the dark, or the goodness or not. So we are still going to meet challenges, and like we were talking before, like unconditional love, which I feel is a very key to source of Mother Father, who loves us unconditionally, that frequency is something to aspire to achieve. It is a challenge. It is not easy, because we are human beings and we have ego. We do react, we have issues and stuff that comes along with that, but the message that I received was about this level of frequency of unconditional love, because it is connecting us to Source, that Divine Mother Father. Now, we are in the time of prophecy, and I did describe some of those prophecies, and one of the ones that just comes to my mind here is the prophecy of about the raging river. You know, the elders say there is a raging river, and well, we could say it's chaos, we could say it's everything is the phoenix is rising, the Ouroboros is doing its work, its systematic work of life, death, and rebirth, because that's universal function. I guess it's called universal law, if you want to say that. It's just the way that it is. It's the process of rebirth, death, and so on. The river, the elders say there is a raging river, and you have to let go of the shore. You have to move out into that raging river, which is life, which is what is happening in this moment, but keep your head above the water, which means be alert and be aware. Use your eyes, your heart, your ears, everything. Know who's there with you. Know your people. Know your community. Know that you are not alone. And letting go of the shore is to let go when it's time to really let go of what you thought was real, which you now know is false, what perhaps you thought was your comfort zone, which it really was very uncomfortable, but you didn't want to really go there, because change is the unknown, but change is ever present. And without movement, without change, without letting go, we cannot grow. We will not arrive at where that raging river will eventually wind up. Because a raging river, or any form of water, has its pattern, has its system, where it moves through the time of rapids, or we call the rapids, or rushes over the waterfalls, and there's rapids. And then further on down the stream of that raging river, it quiets a bit. It becomes quiet. It becomes still. It's really a beautiful, you know, moment when you reach that after going through those rapids, after really the challenge of getting through the rapids, the challenge of nearly being knocked over, tipped off of your raft or your boat. But your people there with you. There will be people with you. Know who they are. And because that river comes to us a very quiet place, like we call it a little inlet. You know, the inlets on the rivers are quiet places. They give you a rest. You can even get out of your canoe or get off your raft, and you can sit down and, you know, have some tea or just sit and be quiet and look at everything around you in that still place. That's life. You know, so then you get out in the river again, and you're going to continue on the life journey, and you're going to hit rapids again. You're going to hit this turmoil. You're going to hit this chaos, you know. Know that up above, further on down the road, will be that little inlet again, and you will get there. That's the way life is. So, yeah, there's a raging river. That's quite obvious. Chaos is rising, and you have to let go of the shore. How do you let go of something that you have relied upon or believed in or felt was the only truth and something that you ever, you know, that you ever knew is trust and faith. To let go of the shore, all that you've known, because it's all changing and the phoenix is on fire and it will rise from the ashes, is to have trust and faith enough to go out in the raging river, to let go. Know that you will not be alone. Know that we are headed for that little inlet, that time where we will have, you know, time to recoup and time to gather ourselves and to have learned something from that journey, and our journeys will continue. So I just want to say that, you know, it's an amazing time, beautiful time, and I just, every day I thank Creator Great Spirit for this gift of life and the beauty all around us. And so I just wanted to say that, Pilamaya, Doksha.
Very well said, lady. It's always humbling. Thank you. How about you, Patty?
Well, I want to give a shout out to Stephen Given in the chat for the quote that he put up there. It says, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent."
I
agree. And there you go.
That's true.
What this is all about, what I've been talking about today, is your personal walk and how you perceive yourself. We talk about unconditional love, but if you cannot love yourself unconditionally, then you do not have the ability to look out at life with those eyes. So it's you that you need to start with. It's me that I need to start with. I need to find those things within myself that bring me angst against anyone, that affect me in a negative way, to where I perceive life in a negative way. That's my responsibility to self, that I take these issues and I turn them and look at them in every aspect and find myself there, or either do not find myself there. It's my responsibility to live in unconditional love. And it begins with me. If I cannot love myself and know that my life has meaning and that my life has worth, not to the great scheme of things, not that I be important to other people or that I change the world for other people, but that I do it for myself. Because in that moment, when we reach that point to where we see the validity of our own lives, then our perspective changes toward everything else. And we realize that it doesn't matter if the storm is raging. It does not matter if earth is shaking. What matters is that I am here and I am whole and I am loved. Because throughout that, isn't that what we're all striving for? We know within ourselves that we're going somewhere from point A to point B, that we came here from a continuum that is infinite, that is never ending, never beginning. We came from that, and that is where we're going. This is an experience. This is a walk of love, a walk of anger, a walk of peace, a walk of hate. All of the things combined in this world are the reality of this world, but they're not the truth. The truth is something greater. The truth is something far beyond any of the experiences we can have here. And that is that we came from the same place, and we're all traveling to the same destination. So it doesn't matter to me that the storm is raging. It doesn't matter to me that the earth is shaking. It only matters to me how I move through this, that I accept that my life is a gift, that my life is precious, that I am valid, and that whatever I do in this walk belongs to me and me alone. So I have a choice. I have a choice to experience this life in love or to experience this life in angst. And it's all my choice. It belongs to me. And there are people who don't understand me. There are people who don't like me. I love those people because they show me perceptions that I never saw before. Now, I accept that they don't like me. It's okay. You don't have to like me. But what I don't accept is that I'm faulty, that there is something that is lacking, because nothing is lacking in my life and nothing is lacking in your life. You are the creator of you in this life. And that's the only important thing to me, is that I move through this life knowing that I come from this place where we all were, and that I'm going to return there, and that my experiences in this life are only given to me for a moment, just a tiny moment. And that nothing in this life has any bearing on who I truly am. And I think that we need to, I think, to touch base with ourselves and see ourselves as perfectly imperfect, and how wondrous that is and magical that is, that we can all come together on this one small little ball floating in a universe, and we can touch each other. We can do all manner of things. But when we leave this small ball and we return, there is no difference between us. We are all the same. And that's important to me, that I remember that. It's important to me because it shows me that even though you have this against me, even though you have done this deed, that it has no bearing on the love that I feel for you, because we are the same. And that this moment in time that we call life is so short. It's so tiny in the grand scheme of things, that I need to soak up whatever is here, because it'll be gone. And only what I take from what I've learned here is going with me, right? And if I take love unconditionally for myself and for you, then that's what I take with me. So that's what I want to say, is that don't sweat the small stuff. Even though it seems like, because we're so involved in this world, that we think that this is the do-all, be-all of everything, it's not. It's really not. It's just a moment. It's just a moment. And all we have is what we create in this moment.
Well, lady, amazing once again. Every time you and I and everybody gathers together, I learn something new from each one of you. You know, in my book of faith, it says that whatever you do unto the least of me, and this was God saying, whatever you do unto the least of me, you do, or whatever you do unto the least of me, you do unto, doggone it, whatever you do unto the least of you, you do unto the least of me. Which, if I'm the least of creation, then that means that if I do myself wrong, I'm doing my God wrong. So I got to treat everybody equal, including myself. Does that make sense to you? I know I kind of like really blew it out of the water there when I was trying to say what God said that you did, what you do unto the least of you, you do unto me. That includes myself. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I
do. So, how about you, Two Dog? Words of wisdom?
Brother, I got something that's coming off the top of my head right now that I would like to share, if that'd be all right. And I'm going to share this. It's called like this. Close your eyes wide open. Look at the mountain to get focused. We're all related no matter where we come from. We hurt each other sometimes. Let the healing begin. Look at everything upon this mother, including her, and give us unconditional love. We're all the same no matter where we come from. So close your eyes wide open, open your heart, and walk in this path. No one will bow down to you, but always look to the Creator that you're walking for. Close your eyes wide open. Use your minds and your hearts to walk this path. The system of focus is here. Brothers and sisters from around the world, black, white, yellow, red of the four directions, we are now here in one mind, one heart, one spirit. So close your eyes wide open, look at the mountain and get focused. It's time to go back to the mountain. Oh.
Words of wisdom again, brother. Yeah, I couldn't say it any better. Folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope that something that we've said here today benefits you in some positive manner, and if it does touch you, you know, in your heart, and you want to share this message with somebody, share it on your social media networks. Use these tools that they use against us all the time to do exactly what's being done. I say we are winning the game, you know, and maybe it's not happening as fast as we like, and we all find ourselves getting discouraged that, you know, we're not being able to fix the world as fast, but don't step over the miracles without recognizing them, you know. But they're around you. You're surrounded by miracles every day. Each and every one of you is surrounded by your family and your friends. Those are miracles. And all the things that nature has provided for you, that creation has given each and every one of you, the choice to basically do as what you wanted out here. Just try to find the right way, right truth and all that kind of stuff. You had a choice whether to be rotten or the choice whether to be wonderful. That's, you know, and you own that, just like Patty's always saying. It's you. It's all you. It's always been you when it comes to yourself. But when it comes to your family out there, responsibility, if you really care about your family, you care about your friends and your children and their future, then you got to realize that you are powerful. You're really powerful. Your words, your actions, everything that you do and say makes a difference in this world some way or another, even if it seems to be insignificant at the time. Everything that you do, everything you say. And so with that said, if there's anything that we said that you disagree with and you want to come on and talk about it, that's what this show's about. If there's anything that needs to be addressed out there that you feel the Knights of the Round Table would be the place to do it, that's what it's all about. But the only way this information ever travels any further past this ear to that ear is whenever you share the information with each other. You share that there's peace, there's hope, there's light, love, and everything necessary to resolve all the problems out there. We're showing them to you. You're showing them us. The people like Stephen Gibbons in the chat room posting links to pertinent information regarding every single show. He's like a miracle in the works. I mean, he must have like super fingers on the keyboard because he just seems to find it. And he uses their tools to do it. It's amazing. It's amazing all the opportunities that we've got. But as we're standing at this crossroad trying to decide, we're all gathering at the crossroad right now. This is the big gathering. We're witnessing the works that we've done to get to this point. We're witnessing the beast eating itself alive, the leader turning on one another, the people are you know, getting desperate. And they might pull some more dirty tricks and shenanigans on the way. But while we're gathering right here, right now, at this crossroad, and we got an opportunity to do something really profound to see how far that humanity can actually go forward in a positive manner, to bring about that world that we all keep talking about, that utopian dream of peace, hope, and love, and, you know, can't we all just get along kind of thing? I believe it's possible. I believe we were given that choice. And when we all realize that if we come together, it's like those flags that Two Dog wants to surround the Tree of Peace with. That picture of unity that came from a picture of separation. Whereas those flags once separated nation from nation, now they're bringing nation together as a symbol around the Tree of Peace that quite literally was prophesied. The tree got cut down according to the story I understand. It got destroyed, and now it's growing again. It's growing inside your heart. It's growing inside your mind. You're seeing the things that are needing to be done. You know you have the power to do it. You have to take the free will and choose to do it. You have to choose.
If you allow me real quick.
Go ahead, Two-Dog.
Before we go off there, this vision that I've seen, this is not about me. And what, you know, what we're doing right now, it's not about me. I consider it a creator sense, a God sense.
Yeah, I agree.
This vision, but, you know, I'm just trying to follow. So it's not about Two Dog at all.
Well,
it's about everybody in this world.
I get it, and I understand, and I respect your humble, I got to say, the vision that you got, because it's... I know what you're saying, brother. My deal is this. Regardless, I believe this came from a higher power. I believe it's something that needs to be fulfilled. I can't wait to see that vision, because in my mind, I see it right now. I see all those flags surrounding that tree, and I understand the meaning of all those flags surrounding that tree, because we've all been separated for so long. That sacred hoop that is broken that we've talked about on here, you know, and the people coming together to mend it. There's people sitting around the round table. There's a purpose for that round table, and it wasn't for that one man could sit at the head of the table and be the king. It was so that all men and women could sit around this table and be the kings and queens. We could all be together on equal footing, no matter what we looked like or how we believed in things.
Then I'll give this to you, Shaziz, real quick before we go off air. When this happens, this actually happens, I will invite you to come down and stand by around the circle tree, you know, the great tree of peace, and I will invite you to hold the Missouri flag.
My brother?
That you gave me, and I thank you for that, and I invite you to do this.
That will be an honor, and I will stand there proudly hold that Missouri flag with tears of joy in my eyes and love in my heart, because that is a day that I'm looking forward to. I will make that journey, and I will be happy to do so.
You know, I'd just like to add a little something before we jump off. You know, to receive a vision, as Two Dog has, is a miracle. And it's humbling, and in the way of the people and the elders, there's no boasting about a vision given. It's something, as Two Dog is saying, you know, that it's for the people, that it's a vision given for all. It's not about him. So that's why he keeps saying this, because in the way of our people, the elders who receive prophecy or vision or medicine or a gift, they're humble about it, you know. This is an honorable way, and that's a spiritual warrior way. I'm just saying. So even though we say over and over again, Two Dog's vision, and thank you, Two Dog, and oh, so on, you know, I know why he keeps saying it's not about me, but I just wanted to just emphasize that, because that's the way of a spiritual warrior, is everything that warrior does is for the people. It's not about him.
Yep.
And he walks in a humble way, and he doesn't boast.
I understand that, and that's why I love him so much. It's amazing.
I want to say one more thing, too. I want to let everybody know that we do have the roundtable coming up today at 3 p.m. my time, which is Central Standard Time, and I think that's 9 p.m. Over across the pond.
Well, so, unfortunately, this time around, I'm not going to make it because I have a meeting with my wife who's out taking care of her parents, so I'm going to go spend the rest of Easter Sunday with my wife and do the family thing, so I'll have to take a rain check and catch up with y'all later. That's all right.
It's perfectly all right. We love you, too, Doug. We love you, Barbara. We love you, she says. And Stephen, you rock, dude. You rock. I just got to tell you. And to everybody else.
There's a wise young man. Is he using an old photograph, or is he like about 80 or 90, Stephen? I don't know. He's got a lot of wisdom, that guy.
He does.
Who is Stephen?
All right, we did it again. We kind of went over, but that's all right because it was all worth it. But look, folks, I'm going to play us out of here with a song that I believe has a nifty little moral to it, a really important moral. It's a song by Bette Midler, The Rose, and if you actually listen to and pay real close attention to those lyrics, it's got some profound meaning to it, and I think that it's worth sharing. So with that said, you've been listening to Knights of the Round Table. I hope that you take the time to share this message with somebody else out there who needs it, to tell them, you know, what it is that we do here and why it is that we're inviting them to show up and help us be part of this whole thing, making the world a better place. Take care, everybody. Peace and love.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say the rose.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines, record scenes, and put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we've given rise that are quite unsingable. We're all combat in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.